gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. For one.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, all you underage drinkers? I'm Kevin Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And you're listening to Heavy Meta. We're fucking legal now, bitches. Episode 21.
Ooh, we're here, man. 21. I gotta tell you, man, episode 1, I never thought we'd make it to 20. So, 21.
Episode 1, I didn't think we were making it to 2, honestly. But it worked. We've made it this far.
I know. And now we're getting, like, you know, choice guests and stuff that actually want to come on. So, it's pretty awesome. So, folks, tonight.
Well, and now that, well but wait, now that we're allowed to drink.
Oh, yeah.
What's going to happen to the cast? Are we actually going to get anything accomplished? Oh, wait. Never mind. Well,
let's just say that we've been drinking behind the bushes. That's all. We're pros. So, yeah, tonight we got a cool guest. We got Durfington on. Mr. Durf the Man. Say hi, Durf.
Woo-hoo! Great to be here, guys.
So we've been wanting to get Durf on for a while, of course, because, you know, me and Kevin have mad love for him because he did our avatars and he's the fucking best. And we just wanted to bring him on, and I don't know if you've been on any. Have you been on any other podcasts, Durf?
Well, I've been on a bunch of Commander Cast episodes, and my first podcast appearance was this very awkward appearance on a Crazy Talk. When that was still ranked, that was a legacy podcast that was run by KYT, Alex Hain, Frankie Richard. So, but it was kind of really weird. Like, I was just talking on Skype with KYT about this website shit, and he's basically like, "Do you want to be on Crazy Talk tonight?" I'm like, "Okay." And they just press record like in 10 minutes. And so I'm like,
"Oh shit."
I'm sitting out on this cast of like Alex Haynes, like, "I'm not going to say shit because I'm not going to say shit about Legacy when like these guys are here." So this is I was just mostly like sitting in the corner, you know, trying not to get in the way of things. But you know, yeah.
Sorry guys, I'll give my opinion when it's asked for, but.
You know, it's funny. I love when Frankie is on, man, because I love his French accent. Oh God, he's. That guy is hilarious, man.
Oh, Frankie is such a cool guy. Like, in person, he's, like, friendliest guy ever. He's so funny. Yeah, you got to meet him at least once.
I have to. Yeah. I love listening to him. I love – didn't he and Hain had a show there. Or they had a couple episodes. I can't remember what I was watching or listening to. It was funny.
Wasn't that kind of recently?
I think it was something recently, but, yeah, both of them are pretty awesome characters.
Right on.
They fit the Man of the Prize rule for being on this cast. You got to be fucked up in the character. Yeah.
Yeah, it works.
It does. So, Durf, we're going to jump right into it. We're going to take some questions from the field because, of course, you know, I think there's probably no other artist that I can think of that is like the Twitter icon guy to go to. You know, like,
yeah,
no, for real. Like, when we started out, like, I always, like, totally was jealous of, like, the A-Team avatars you did. And, like, I'd see all these people's avatars. I'm like, where the fuck did they get that, you know? And I'd be watching, I faithful viewer of, like, dirtling around there. And I was like, man, how the hell can I get Durfed, you know? And I was like, I know. I'll start a podcast. The real reason I started No, I swear to God, this is one of my hidden motives. Was to start a podcast because I'm like, one day, I'm just going to guilt him into like, Durf, you gotta give me an avatar, man.
Oh, so man, you have to.
That's the coolest thing ever. No, I appreciate that. No, that's awesome.
but the ultimate compliment has to come from my kids who, like, when I got this, I was like so happy. They're like, Dad, what's going on? I'm like, check this out. And they're like, wow, that looks totally like you. And what's hilarious is because Durf's style is so like his own. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if that's a compliment or not. But I'm like, that's awesome. And they're like, wow, is Durf going to make like a cartoon about you? And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
See, what you should have done right then and there is had your kids write letters to Durf in their own handwriting and just guilt them into making a comic strip.
Yeah, that's a super guilt trip. I would not be able to resist that.
Like, oh, yeah, your Megatron, can you please turn our daddy into a superhero?
Oh, no.
I'll take pictures of them crying tears. Photoshop myself on a cancer bed, like, dying. It's his last wish.
Please, yeah, please make a comic strip of our daddy.
Just shut down the comic for a month. Okay, I'll just draw all of them.
Yeah, I'm just going to do this.
Take your back.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's funny. Like, I really do say, like, you aren't on Twitter. If for people who are being, you know, looking for fame on Twitter, I mean, you really aren't on Twitter till you get derfed. You know, of course we ran the first ever Heavy Metal Derf, Get Derfed contest. And Mildy Vane alone, like, I got to tell you, man, I don't know how much, you know, he told you, but he's pretty happy, and he was jonesed up his mind. He was. When I asked him, I'm like, well, you know, you can email Derf, and, you know, you can do anything you want. He's like, I don't care what he does. Whatever he does, man. I don't give a fuck. Whatever, it's Derf. Like, you know,
I'm good for it. I'm good for it.
So I was like, I hope Derf draws a black square. Just solid colors and a black square with the little eyes derped up.
There you go.
And it's like, he's like, what is this? Oh, that's you in the dark. Oh, I love it. Off you go.
Next week, he's all doing a snowstorm.
Exactly. So we're going to jump right in, Derf. We're going to see. So a lot of people have been asking us, you know, what your method is, like how you start. So Michael Comby, Art Geek, 73, 13H. No idea what the fuck that is.
4, 6, 12, 9er.
Yeah, I have no idea, man. He's like, how do you start, Derf? So what's your process? Are you pencil sketching? Are you just Photoshop sketching? You use a tablet? What?
I hate to say it, but I'm not really like this super, super snobby art guy, you know, like I've just been doing it.
Like Polish tamales?
Oh man, that guy. Every time I see one of his things, I'm just like, man, I gotta step up my game. I gotta do more. Like that's one of the cool things. Like when he and I, like when I see his stuff, he sees my stuff. Like it's just, I just want to do more. Like it's really, it's so motivating just to have like a compatriot in the magic fan art scene, I guess.
Oh, totally. But do you do pencil sketches or do you just like straight in Photoshop?
For the longest time, I just used pencils and inks until I started working on the comic. For like the first, I guess, 6 months of the comic, I would just sketch them out on paper, scan them in to Photoshop, and then use the airbrush and just trace them over like very, very painstakingly until like after that point, I just moved completely digital. So all the comics are just 100% digital from that point on. So if I'm working on like a token where I have a little more time to work on the actual line art, then I'll actually go sketch it on paper first just to make sure I've got it right, because it's a little more difficult just sketching things out on a computer. Like I need to feel that, like the pencil on the paper, that kind of that nerdy art feel.
No, that's understandable.
Now, do you have any classical art training?
I took art class in high school, I took an art class in university for a spring credit, but other than that, not really. Like I've done like the usual like life drawing, little painting, but like other than that, it's just mainly should I do it on my own? The time I waste on my own time.
Yeah, no, that's cool, man. I mean, do you do the tablet, or are you just using the mouse?
Just use a tablet. Like I had maybe a year or two ago, I had it was a very plain tablet. Like it was just, you know, regular size. But a while back, a friend of mine gave me a really good deal on one of the interactive displays. So that basically means you can use it, acts as a monitor, and you can use the stylus on the screen as
sick.
So, oh wow, that's awesome!
That changed everything. That made things a whole lot easier, digital wise.
So how long have you been doing this? Like this is your fourth year
in general?
No, like for dirtling around, like
dirtling around. I started, I think it's a little over 2 years now. I think I started beginning of 2011. I know all the beginning comics I wrote about were just like Cobblade and Scars of Mirrodin Block, so I think that's a good indicator.
Oh yeah, right.
Oh, that's crazy. Only 2 years. It feels like so much longer, man.
You know, it honestly does. Like sometimes I'll scroll back and look through
crazy.
I was like, I can't believe I've done all of these. Just yeah. No, it's kind of surreal just to look back and see all the crap that I've drawn since then.
That's awesome, man.
I fucking love it, man. And like it, you know, we've said before, like what Maddie was talking about with it being, you know, like the premiere, like you know, you haven't arrived on Twitter until you've been derfed. Like, and now that I see like more and more and more of, you know, as you've finally gotten around to everybody, all your friends and shit, like more of my friends on fucking Twitter, like, everybody's avatar is a Derf avatar. And yeah, I seriously really want to do, like, we talked about a while back, is like, we just need to get a fucking big poster of all the fucking avatars you've done and have Maddie just blend them together all cool and fucking make a poster out of it.
Dude, like I'll tell you right now. So my idea, right?
I'd post that shit. I would post it right above my bed. All right,
so would I. Okay, so Derf, you tell me if this is cool. An audience, if you like this idea, bug the shit out of Derf. But my idea is we do like a Pokemon ripoff where we have like a Magikarp deck, right? But then we have like all these little, you know, rounded corner squares of all the icons Derf has done. It's like, gotta catch them all. That would just be so cool. You know, like, maybe we'll get Polish tamales to draw the hands or something. So it's like the whole artist community
It'd have two different fucking art styles. Yeah.
Well, it's just like you know, it's hilarious. Like, I tell you, one day, I don't know how I'm going to find a way to do it, but everyone in my feed, all 381 followers, I want you all Derfed, because I'm so like anal about, like, I love it when everyone has their own, it's all the same style.
Everybody Derfed.
I'm honestly thinking of unfollowing certain people that just, I don't like their icons.
You're so, listen, Dick, until you've been Derfed, you don't get to be on my fucking feed. Yeah. Sorry, that's just the rules. That's the way it is.
That's how I roll, man. That's how I roll.
All my tokens on fucking Moto are fucking, you know, Derf's art of us that we did for token art, but I might have to just change all of the magic artwork to everybody's different fucking avatars that he's done. So all of the card artwork on Moto is just all different Derf fucking random ass people.
That'd actually be pretty cool.
That would be pretty cool to see. I feel like I still have to do a few more. I honestly don't know how many of them I've done, but I honestly feel like I should do a few more just to flesh out the community a little bit more.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have to. We got plans for you, man. You might not even get to have a choice in it.
I'm going back into the cage. I know this.
Yeah. God damn it.
I don't know how you got out, but damn it, you're going back in there.
I needed that fresh air so badly.
Well, we had to let him out of the cage because we were getting like weird microphone feedback and shit like that.
We throw him a little headset in the cave. So here, we got another one for you, Derf. So Crack Lotus, he wants to know, what inspired you? Was there a comic strip? An illustrator? You know, like, are you self-taught? Like, where did you come up with this style?
I'm pretty much self-taught. Like, I've been drawing since I was maybe 4 or 5. I was drawing, like, Transformers and shit. And that moved on to, like, comics, like Batman, X-Men, stuff like that. And then when I got into, like, my teenage years, I was really influenced by anime, so I was, like, watching shit tons of anime series.
What was the first anime that blew your mind?
The first one I watched was Escaflowne, which I liked, but I didn't like that much. And the first one I really, like, fanboyed out over was Rurouni Kenshin.
Really?
Old school people. Yeah. For those who don't know, it's kind of like a fighting style anime, like kind of like Dragon Ball Z, except it's based in, like, 1800s Japan, and it's about this swordsman who, like, just killed a shit ton of people when he was younger, and then he swears off that life and becomes a peaceful guy, and then he tries to live a peaceful life, but all these people keep trying to fuck up with his shit, and then
everybody wants to fuck with him because he used to be such a badass.
Pretty much. That's exactly it. That's exactly it, and that's, like, one of the, like...
That sounds like that Jet Li movie, The Master, or The Legend, where he says it was going to be his last Kung Fu movie.
I don't think I watched that, but, yeah, it's...
Sounds familiar.
Probably very similar.
Now, what is your favorite anime of all time?
Favorite anime?
Yeah.
I hate to be a cop-out, but I gotta say Cowboy Bebop. Just as...
Really?
Because it only ran for one season, but it had everything you wanted in a good anime. It had good characters, it had humor, it had action, and it had a very satisfying, if a little sad, ending. But, yeah, they're a bunch on my list, but I think that one's just, like, the most... complete one, I guess.
Now, what do you think of Bubblegum Crisis?
I don't think I've actually watched a whole ton of that. I think it was running when I was watching, like, way back when I was 13, 14, 15, but I don't think I really got into that.
Oh, no, man. I remember, like, because when I went to Sheridan for Classic Animation, like, literally, it was hilarious because I'd watch, like, a couple of animes, and then as soon as you get to Sheridan, it's like, hey, every day you got to watch animation. So, like, there'd be people, like, with, like, videotapes. Here, here's like 25 videotapes. It's every anime like ever made. You're like, here, you want to watch like 25 episodes of, you know, Record of the Lotus Wars or something?
Oh,
I'm like,
man, that's old school.
Oh yeah, like Akira, like, oh, Akira, of course, right? Like, but like some crazy, crazy shit that I used to watch. It was awesome stuff though, man. Like even old episodes of like, what's it called? Astro Boy.
Astro Boy, oh man.
Some of that stuff is awesome, man. When you
I'm getting to be like an old fart, but like all of my favorite series were like, they're already done and gone, and all the new ones, like I barely watch any anime these days. Like even the past few years, I just haven't touched it that much, just because I don't know.
Except for Ghost in the Shell, right?
I haven't really watched like any anime in the last, I don't know, 32 years or so. I feel still lost right now. I might as well be wandering around in Canada.
Yeah.
We can ship you a list of good ones to try out if you're so inclined.
I might have to get into it a little bit. I mean, I honestly just never really got into it. Not that I mean, the art is amazing, but I always just kind of like, every time I would even catch a little bit of it here and there, I would just end up trailing off and doing something else.
I actually need
to maybe give it a shot.
You know what you need to, watch? You need to go watch Dark City.
Watch Archer.
No, Dark. For anyone that likes anime, you know as well as I do, Dark City, that one's for Kimmy. All
right. But like, I'll have to check some shit out.
That one will be up your alley. So basically, Derf, so obviously, you know.
Oh, the only thing I can contribute to this conversation at all whatsoever is Full Metal Alchemist. I watched some of that and I played the video game. And that's it. That's all I know.
Yeah, I totally forgot to mention Full Metal Alchemist. That's also one of my favorite series.
See? I'm always fucking right. Even when I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Dude, you're like a savant, man. I love it, man. It's awesome. Now, when did you start playing Magic? Like, are you an old school dude from 94? Or did you pick it up in the earlier or what?
I'm one of those guys who kept jumping in and out of the game. So when I started, I was probably in grade 4 or 5, so probably like 10 or 11. And I first got into it, I think, Fallen Empires had just come out, and
set to get into Magic.
that's the golden bar, the standard of Magic. But no, like, I saw some kids playing it at school, and then like my dad, he bought me a revised starter deck, which he probably regrets to this day because that spawned a huge addiction. Right? Siphoned off a lot of his cash. But no, like my first revised starter was sick. It had like Sarah Angel, Brain Geyser, Clone, like all the blue white cards. I traded them all away for some stupid shit. Like all the other like noob kids. But yeah, I played until maybe like, I don't know, like grade 7, grade 8, and I dropped it, then picked it up again in high school. So, and then I quit around that time though. It was Invasion Block had just come out. And then, so when I quit, I picked it up again just before M10 came out. So around Alara Block, and then that was probably around 2009, so I've just been playing since 2009.
Now, where do you fall on the paper versus digital? Like, are you an MTGO boy now? Like, or have you like, well, I got some paper, but primarily I play Modo? Like, what is your viewpoint?
I gotta say, I thought that if I signed up for Magic Online, I'd just be drafting like a fiend, like 24/7. But since I signed on, like, I haven't really played that much. I'm probably like 99.5% paper. I just feel like that when I play in a serious match, like, I just don't know the controls, and I feel like the controls are really daunting. So if I misclick or forget to set a stop, then it just like totally fucks up my game. I rage quit, like break my computer in half, you know? I also probably miss like the interaction of playing against like someone, like a physical opponent across from me, and just like the feel of the cards, like all that weird shit that people sometimes say.
The smell of the cards.
Oh, I smell every boost of card.
See, you do too, right? Like when you.
You guys are fucking weirdos.
No. Okay, you know that smell, right? When you walk in the comic store and you're like, it's that paper smell, a little bit of dirty fat, neck beard, you know, with just a hint of it, but. Oh man. I love smelling the cards.
Every single product is different too. So you smell like a From the Vault, you smell like a you smell like a Duel Decks, you know, it's all good.
it's like the neckbeard cologne from the vault for men. Like
It's truer than you know.
yet another marketing opportunity that Wizards has missed out on.
So basically, neckbeards. If you take a bottle of rubbing alcohol, and then you take a bunch of old like lands or commons you don't want, you put them in there. Shake it around. You soak it for a good month or two, and then you just put that in a spray bottle. There you go. Ode du magique.
Just rub those over your body.
So, like, do you think, though, that, like MTGO is, as you get older, right? Like, do you think it's the choice for you, like, to play, like, because you're like, well, I got a bit of time after work. I could go down to FNM. I could call some people, try to get a physical game going. Or you're like, fuck it, I'm going to jump on and play Commander.
Well, it's a funny thing, because, like, as I am getting older, I'm finding less and less time to actually go to, like, FNM. Like, I haven't played in a sanctioned event for God knows how long. So, like, I feel like Magic Online is the inevitable option for me. So it's just a matter of, like, taking the plunge, I guess. Like, I know it's there, and I know it's beckoning. So I'll eventually become enthralled in its icy grip.
Yeah, well, the worst thing is, as Kevin knows, don't drink and play Moto, because then you're like, man, those guys at St. Traff, awesome. I'm going to go see how much they are.
No, I'm terrible at that. Like, I am so bad at spending my money in real life anyway. Like, I'm all, whatever, I got bills to pay. I'll pay those
after.
Next week. I'm going to buy this now. But, like, it's bad with Moto, too. Because at least with paper cards, I can, like, make that conscious. I mean, I'll still do it sometimes, but I'll fucking order cards that I want for this deck while I'm hammered. But at least it's a little bit more of a fucking step. With Moto, it takes me, like, fucking 10 minutes to make this decision to be like, oh, whatever, I'm going to buy a playset of these and a playset of these and a playset of these. And then I wake up the next morning, I'm like, fuck, that deck's not even going to work.
Yeah.
There's that whole instant gratification aspect to it, right? Yeah, so, like, you buy the cards, they're instantly in your collection, whereas
you can start playing with them, right? Yeah. It's just a much faster version of it. Like, instead of, like, getting the cards, like, shipped to me or going to the store, getting them, putting the deck together, get the cards, takes a couple minutes, put the deck together, jump in a tournament practice room, realize it was a terrible idea, and you already spent the money, and Wizards is just putting it in their bank. Fuck it.
It's true.
Whatever bot you bought the shit from. Like...
Now Ben Clinton, he kind of bugged the shit out of us. He's like,
I was just talking to him today, actually, about this exact fucking.
There you go. See, there's some people that are on this cast, man. They just know what's going on. They're followers. But he has a question.
Oh, does he?
Okay. Yeah, he has a question for Durf. He says, "What the fuck is this Muay Thai training all about? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to learn Muay Thai and take us out when we're not looking?"
I'm planning my escape from the cage, because I know combat is inevitable, because, confined quarters and all. I can't escape. I gotta find my way out. But no, I know, Ben's a lot into that too. And, when I was in high school, I was looking for something to do. I was, kind of smallish, a little nerdy, timid, and I just wanted something to try physically. So I started Taekwondo. So I was back in high school. I did that for about 5 years, and then I went to university, got fat and lazy, and then so when I started working, I was just trying to get back into shape, and then it's something I've been thinking about doing for a while. So I just dropped by this Muay Thai school, tried to see what it's all about. I got hooked again, because that's the exact same reaction when I was in high school. Like, I take one class of martial arts, I'm just hooked. It doesn't matter how stressful it is, how much pain you endure, like, it's just really, really fun to me. So yeah, that's what I'm doing now. That's like my latest kick, just every weekend going to the gym, getting my ass kicked, and recovering over the next few days and back and doing it all over again.
Mental note, when I get hammered and start shit with Magic players, don't start shit with Durfington.
Well, now we got to know you have Durf on our side when shit goes down. Motherfucker.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what's more important than being physically strong and being able to kick somebody's ass is knowing people
that can kick
people's ass. My son's birthday party this weekend, we were standing there talking. I was talking to my dad, and he was giving me shit about my small arms. He's all, look at those pathetic little fucking arms. And now next to me is standing our guitar player, who's, a foot shorter than me and, like, a foot wider than me and stout. And my dad's like, look at those little fucking arms. What are you going to do with those? And I was like, all I need these arms to do is to point and say, get him, Jerome. That's all that matters. Like, you don't need to be strong. You just need strong friends.
You got to call in the assist, like in the fighting games. You just get the guy in there.
Tech and tag tournament, man. That's what it's all about. Now,
you probably want to show up to Vegas, to GP Vegas, so that when I get hammered and start shit with the wrong guy, I don't end up dead.
I gotta keep you out of trouble, though. I don't know how well I can do that.
I think inevitably you're not gonna keep me from like starting trouble, but you might be able to keep me from dying because of it.
gotta put out all the fires.
I don't know, man. I think you're gonna need freaking Polis Tamales to be knocking guys out left and right.
Yeah. If I've got my fucking two favorite artists fucking wrecking fools for me, then like. And I'll be all blackout drunk, so I don't remember any of it. And then, like, I'll, you know, do-do-do-do-do, come back home and get on the next fucking cast. I'm like, man, I had a lot of fun. Vegas was fucking great. I remember playing some Magic. I remember doing some drinking. And you guys are like, all, you don't remember all the other shit that happened?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, what do you mean?
News.
Yeah, Derf's got a broken arm. Fucking, like, he can't draw anybody's avatars for quite a while now. Like, yeah, and this is all your fault, Gabby, because you decided to pull out your dick and start yelling at the fat guy.
I am not at that party. Let me know whenever that party is. I'm avoiding that.
Oh God.
So Derf, what do you think? Like, a lot of our listeners, of course, you've seen, like, you know, some people are on budgets, some people are, you know, trying to find the best ways to enjoy Magic Online and that. And I know you're kind of like one of the entry point type. Users of the clients where you're playing the most economical formats, right? So what is your advice to some of these people saying, hey, I want to get on, but I don't want to blow Kevy money?
From what I've read, like, my experience really is only with Commander, getting into Commander Online. I guess it all comes down to what you want to get out of Magic Online, right? Because if you want to get into Standard or another one's constructed formats, probably draft seems like the way to go, right? Like, I'm by far not the expert here, but seems like drafting seems like the way to go to build your collection from there.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever tried Pauper yet?
No, I haven't. I've heard like
Pauper. Well, you see, I'm a Pauper virgin too, so apparently whenever we get this damn Robot Large, what the fuck's going on, man? Get that Pauper tournament organized.
And we can't exactly blame that on Robot Large, because this motherfucker has hit us up, like, I don't know how many times. He's like, let's get this thing going, guys. Let's get this thing. And we're like, yeah, do it, yeah. And then that's it. Like, yeah, we're totally down. Okay, just let us know when to show up.
We are the best cheerleaders ever. But, like, yeah, exactly. When it comes down, it's like, hey, man, we're going to start a fight. We're like, yeah, yeah. And then they're like,
yeah, get him.
Yeah, get him, boy. Where did they go? They went to the liquor store. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, we're gonna go get some drinks. We'll be right back. Don't worry about it.
We're gonna go get some. We're out of ice, guys. We'll be back.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. Oh, Robot Large wants to start a tournament. Yeah, we're gonna go get some drinks. You figure it out. Like,
explanation point. All right. No, but like, would you be interested in like Pop, or do you think that's something like, you know, because it's not that expensive and. You can kind of like, it's entry level, you know?
No, I'm up for trying for anything. Like, again, like, my biggest mental barrier is fucking up with the clients. And I mean, like, the only way to fix that is to actually try it. So, yeah. Okay. Like,
well, since you brought it up, now, have you tried?
Hey, before we segue out of this into the clients thing,
all right.
One of the things I want to bring up, too, is like, you know, we were just talking about Ben Clinton and one of the things he's doing, and I know, Mike Marsala was doing the same thing before, you know, talking about like getting into Modo cheaper, depending on where the direction you want to go with it. Like, you know, if you're planning on just dabbling with it a little bit, that's one thing. But like what Ben is doing right now is he's pretty much going to jump in fucking head first into Modo. And so now he's, you know, looking at trading off, you know, a bunch of his paper collection for Modo cards, which is, I mean, especially with, you know, a lot of these guys out there that I've talked to that have, you know, huge fucking paper collections, have plenty of shit to fucking trade. It doesn't seem like a bad option at all to
trade off, you know, if you're going to just jump into Moto and you're sick of playing paper, to trade off a bunch of shit that you have laying around, like value that you have laying around in your paper cards, to get Moto cards and not have to fucking, basically not have to pay anything out of pocket for them.
No, that's exactly right. Because, like, if you're like me and you don't play that many, like, paper sanction events, you got, like, a sizable collection, a lot of cards are just sitting around doing nothing. Like, it kind of makes sense to, you know, sell them off and feed them into your Moto collection so you can at least play events. So
right, and you're going to have – and there's a lot of value there because, I mean, we've talked about how, you know, for the most part, depending on the card, but for the most part, you know, your paper cards are going to have more value than your Moto cards. But if you're actually looking to just get into, you know, like your situation where you're getting older, you don't have time to pay or to play like sanctioned events all the time, and your paper collection is pretty much collecting dust, and you've got all this shit you've been collecting forever that has a lot of value to it, then you can actually go get, you know, some playing value out of it, you know, on Moto. And with, you know, the Twitter community, shit like that, like, you know, it's a, you know, Ben just hit up everybody today. He's just like, hey, I'm pretty much jumping into Moto. Anybody have paper cards they want to trade for Moto cards? You know, and like me, for instance, you know, I told him, I was like, I got a fucking play set of Geist that I don't fucking want and I don't ever want to look at again. And I'm more than willing, because me, like, I, you know, my other thing is, like, I have been playing more paper lately. And although I'm still mainly on Moto, I would like to have some solid decks in paper, because I've spent so much time not, like, you know, not really spending much money on paper Magic, because I'm always playing on Moto. But then every time I do go to play some paper Magic, going from playing fucking, you know, tier one decks or tier 1.5 decks to playing fucking garbage, it sucks. And so I'm like, all right, well, now I'd like to start actually getting a little bit of a paper collection together, or at least some solid decks. So now I've got all this shit on Moto in my fucking trade binder that, you know, I'm not going to use a lot of it, and I can get some value out of it that way. Ben can fucking jump on and actually get into some cards instead of having to fucking, like, rebuy his fucking collection, you know, in Moto that he already has in paper. He can trade that shit off. And I think that's a very, very viable option for getting into Moto. You know, if you want to get on and check it out and play Popper, you know, for pretty cheap, that's fucking great. That's awesome. You know,
yeah, see, shit, you could sell one Geist, make a whole deck.
And make a whole fucking, no problem. But if you want to fucking, like, you know, if you're actually, you know, wanting to still play some, you know, if you're into playing Standard, into playing Modern, but you don't want to turn your fucking, you know, your Jund deck into a, and then pay for Jund all over again, or whatever the case may be, online, you know, you can trade off a bunch of that shit. So it's not damaging your pockets as much, which, far be it for me to actually give you guys good financial advice, because usually it's fucking.
Ba-doom boom, financial advice from Cabby Metal Fucks. Here you go.
It's always followed by a laugh.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, you did have the call on some of the stuff. You know how much you're up on those Jace memory adepts that you still have, dude?
I haven't even looked at them in a while.
They're like going for $16 in paper, man.
Fucking right on.
Like, there you go. Unload that. It's free money. But, like, Durf, like, so you've seen the new clients. You're kind of, like, getting into it. And a lot of people, I'm always curious because I like to see what people think. But did you ever try out the V3 client?
Is that the one that they did release a version just fairly recently, like about a week ago?
Yeah, so there's like the old version, and then there's like their new fancy, sexy client. So what, you play on the new one, I assume?
I haven't played the newest one yet. I played the previous version 3 client, I think it's called. No, I really enjoyed it, and it's so much better than that. Whatever they're doing in 1997, that version 2 client.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, that's version 3. And then
that one? Okay.
Yeah, the new version that you like is the beta.
Oh, okay.
That they haven't launched. It will eventually be version 4.
Oh, no, I think – the regular standard Moto client right now is the V3, and then there's the beta, which is the next version, right?
Yeah, they haven't called it 4 yet. It's like V3.whatever, 6, 8, 9, I don't know, some garbage thing they designated as, who knows.
Right.
But yeah, I mean,
onto the, like, if you haven't gone onto like the beta yet, like the normal Moto client, like the one that I use is V3, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, I have both, right? So the way it works is there's a public beta that you can download the new one, because they're trying to get people to move over. And then there's the closed beta, which I'm a part of the closed one. And essentially that's just where they're beta testing the next releases. Right, so the release they just released, I've been playing on and off 3 months ago.
Oh, okay.
And then they move it to the wide beta, which is what Durf plays, and then the people that hate it all, they play version 3 and say, "Ew, we don't want this new client."
Yep, that's me.
Yep. Well, you know what? You know what's funny? Here's the thing, Durf. This is what I'd love to ask you too. Like, on the version 3 client, like, that's my go-to client. Still, even though I play the closed beta and the wide beta, it's just so much faster playing. Like, right. There's less clicks, it's faster. And the one thing that is, in my opinion, virtually impossible to do on the beta client, or not the beta, the wide beta, is trading. I can't trade. Like, it's
impossible. One of the things I noticed too, where, like, when I was playing EDH with you guys, like, I tried to trade through the newer client, and I couldn't do it at all. I think it kept crashing or something, so I had to keep using the version 3 one, and I think I eventually resorted to using the version 3 client. Like, it looks so... Like, one of the visual barriers also, I guess, to playing Magic Online is being forced to use that client, because that's basically the one everyone's used to, and it's probably less buggy, so everyone uses it, but it's just such an eyesore, and like, people who probably haven't played Magic Online that much, that's what they imagine when they think of Magic Online. So
it's true. Right. It's a huge problem for them getting people to come aboard, because, you know, for so long it's been viewed as this piece of garbage. But what I laugh at is they've made it look better, but the speed and the efficiency and, like...
It's like shit.
Yeah, the whole... Like, what I still don't understand people that argue they want all this fancy shit, and all I want is the fastest game experience possible. Like, if I could take the UI of the new client and just turn it all gray, dark gray on gray, like Adobe, you know, like, and just be like, hey, play fast, you know, and everything.
It's like all wireframes.
Well, not wireframes, but, like, if anyone who's in the arts and they use any of the Adobe Suite products, it's like this whole, like, dark gray on gray interface, and it's just so clean because it just disappears, you know, and you can focus on whatever you're playing. So, like, if I'm playing a match, I don't want to look at the interface. I want to look at the cards, so... I don't know,
which is exactly why I think I'm still, like, stuck on the fucking the version 3, and I don't like when I have to switch over to the beta, is because I'm used to it. It's faster. It's just, like, I would rather, as much as I can bitch at Wizards for, you know, fucking things up and not, like, you know, it could look a hell of a lot better, but I'm much more interested in, I mean, fuck, dude, I can barely fucking not time out playing the V3 client. I mean, if I gotta play the other shit, like, that's slower, I'm really fucking, and trying to find new shit, I'm really fucking it up. So that's why I think I'm so inclined to play that. I'd much rather a faster game experience than fucking
it
having, like, crazy effects, animation transitions and shit like that. So,
oh god, and the worst thing with the new client is you got to turn off all the sound effects, because it's like, blah, 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 ding, long, chow, chow, chow. Like, what the fuck is that?
I don't know, I kind of like that shit.
Ah, damn. I hate them.
God damn it. No, I actually, like, I'm not concerned about, like, what sound effects it is, but that's another thing. For some reason it bugs me. Like, still have my little wireless thingy plugged in for my fucking headset, and then I'll open up my fucking laptop and jump on Moto and start playing games, and there's no sound coming out, and it drives me insane when things are happening on the screen and I don't have some sort of fucking audio trigger for, like, hey, something's happening right now. And then, of course, I time out because I'm not paying attention.
You need an electric shock collar for it's your turn.
You literally, it's like, you know, like a fucking end of turn, fucking beginning of combat, all that. Like, I just have to get zapped.
Yes. Oh, man. Okay, well, here, now we're going to get into the second half of Heavy Meta. We can start getting a little crazy. So, Kelvin Mai, he has a question for us. And he says, all right, guys, quick question. Weirdest fear or ultimate phobia? He says his is eyeball stabbing. That's pretty fucked up. I don't even know. I guess my ultimate fear.
Jeez. I got lots of shit I'm afraid of.
All right, well, fuck, you go first.
I don't know, like, dude, snakes. Snakes bug the holy fuck out of me.
Really? So you're like Indiana Jones? You're just like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, snakes. Seriously, they bug the shit out of me. Spiders, not even close. Spiders don't bother me in the slightest. You got some people that are afraid of everything. You got some people that are afraid of snakes and don't mind spiders, and then some that are completely the opposite. For some reason, I will let spiders crawl on me. I got no fucking problem with it. Snake anywhere in the fucking room, and it makes my fucking skin crawl, and I want it to die. You don't have legs, but you can move around. That's not okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So fucking, you know,
snakes. Yeah, gotcha.
Snakes. Absolutely.
So now, are you so deathly scared that if I threw a rubber snake at you, would you just freak out?
not completely freak out, but like you'll still get like just throwing a rubber snake at me or something like that will get a reaction out of me. It still just fucking freaks me out. I fucking hate snakes.
So
one time, I've always been this way, always felt the same way. One night, hammered drunk, had a party in my apartment, and a friend of ours showed up, and he had two fucking gardener snakes or something like that. That he had caught. Live in the desert, there's fucking snakes everywhere. It's one thing I hate about living here, but I guess there's snakes everywhere. Anyway, he caught these two fucking garter snakes, and he fucking rolls up with them, and I got incredibly comfortable with them. Had no fucking problems letting them fucking crawl up my arm, around my neck, and I literally, we were partying at my house, we left my house, and we went to, down the street to another fucking buddy's house that was having a party, went down there, hung out, and the whole night, I've just got this fucking snake hanging around my neck, and he's just chilling, keeping warm, no fucking problems. And it didn't bother me the slightest, just playing with him, fucking hanging out, letting him lay on my neck all fucking night. So then, the next morning I wake up thinking that I'm not afraid of fucking snakes anymore. I must have conquered that fear. Well, my girlfriend has a rosy boa, which are the most my ex-girlfriend, the girlfriend at the time, has a rosy boa that she insisted on keeping in the house in a fucking tank, and I fucking hated it because it's, they're the most docile snakes ever, but still, it's a fucking snake. And so I was just like, oh man, I must be cured of my fucking snake issue. Walk out, go up to the tank, I'm like, fuck that thing, no way in hell. I don't know what came over me that night, but I was like the fucking snake charmer, and I was fucking fine with it. One night of my life, I was totally okay with it. Other than that,
I thought you were going to say I woke up and the snake was gone, and then I noticed something hanging out of my ass. I'm like,
woo! Good night. No, I they freaked me the fuck out. I still, I'm a fucking grown ass man, and I will punch a dude taller than me in his mouth. But if a snake bolts across the trail 10 feet away from me, I will run fucking screaming like a girl.
Oh, well, I gotta tell you the best. Okay, so the one thing that I'm not really scared of anything, but the one thing that I guess I'm deathly scared of this is, okay, so I have a little brother, right? And way back, when X-Files was, at its peak, right? And it was all about the aliens and shit. Me and my buddies would stay up late at my parents' house in the basement, and we'd be playing video games or something all night long, right? And it would be, 2, 3 in the morning, right? And we'd be like, all right, it's time to go. And they'd bail. My brother usually was asleep by then. He was, only, 8 or 9 years old. So one night in the summertime, it must have been, 3 in the morning, and I'm like, me and two or three of my other friends were just sitting in the basement. I think we were playing Gran Turismo, trying to play the freaking crazy endurance 100-lap races or something. Anyways, and we just watched Aliens, okay? Before we were playing, right? And so we're all a little bit it's dark. It's really dark and dungy in this basement, right? And my brother had kept this Halloween mask of an alien's face. Okay, no. This is 3 in the morning, and my brother's 8 years old. Okay, so he's like a ninja. 8 years olds, they can walk with no sound. Okay?
And they weigh 12 pounds.
Exactly. So I'm not shitting you. It's pitch fucking black in this basement, besides the glow of the TV. And I see out of the corner of my eye something moving down the stairs. And we had a cat, so I'm like, whatever. Who gives a shit? I see a face because it's dark, and I just see this fucking silver face of an alien's head turn the corner of my basement stairs, and I literally froze. The car, I was holding the control, the car just crashes. My buddy's like, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I can't even speak. Other friend, he looks and he sees the fucking thing, and he starts crying, whimpering. My brother, this shows you my brother. He doesn't laugh. What does he do? He silently walks towards us.
Oh, gosh, shit. That's almost creeping me out. Just dude, picture it in my head, dude.
Dude, I'm like, oh, fuck. I started, what the fuck? And I threw the chair I was sitting on at because I was so fucking scared, right? Now, does my brother take the mask out and say, ha, 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 got you? No, he just casually sidesteps the chair and keeps walking at us.
Oh, God.
I swear to God, he had me. I still owe him to this day. I got to get him back because he literally, I think I pissed my pants, man. I was like freaking out, and then he gets like within a foot of me, and he just casually takes the mask off, and he says, "Here." And he literally he just ran away because he knows in about 30 seconds I'm gonna kill you.
He's catching a beating.
Oh, that was. And then to that day, like I'd be sitting in the basement, I'd be staying up late, and I'm like, "What was that? What the fuck was that?" Oh shit, man! For like months, I was like just petrified. I'm like, I'd go up the stairs and I'd look out the window and I'd be like, "What's in that bushes? What the fuck is that light going on over there? You know? What if there's lights over Lake Ontario? What the fuck?" Oh, I was petrified. So that was me, man.
That's fucking awesome. That's good. I love it.
What about you, Durf? What are you all here?
So it's kind of like a multi-part answer. So I was like you, Maddie. Like I used to watch bits of X-Files that I could stand when I was a lot younger. And I was like, when from like grade 5 to like grade 7, I had this morbid fear of being abducted by aliens.
Right.
Every time I lay in bed, I was like, I really hope they don't get me this time. Because you see all the scenes, and you're like a little kid. You're watching X-Files. You see all these abduction scenes. Like,
exactly.
Oh my God, they're gonna fuck me up.
And do you remember that sound, that like the violin-y, like the horrible sound?
Don't mention it. Oh, fuck. Let's go catatonic on the cast.
Yeah, Durf. Hey, Durf, where you go?
Clap them around.
It's like a whining sound. Like,
But, so aliens.
Aside from that, like one of like a weird fear I have is getting cut on my fingers, like if I'm like chopping vegetables or something, or if I'm like even washing like a kitchen knife, I'm very, very, very careful because I've cut myself like at least once. And it's not so much the blood. It's not the fact that it hurts. I don't know. It's just like that slicing feeling.
Yes.
Like it's so clean and smooth. And you don't feel it until like after, like three a long seconds, after.
Yeah.
And
after just, it happens.
It's just totally creeped the fuck out.
Speaking of getting, okay, so when I was in grade 8 shop class, I witnessed the most fucked up thing in the world, okay? So we got bussed out to this fucking bumfuck Idaho school, and there was this guy, Mr. Tabarek, and he was my shop teacher, and he was this big motherfucking huge, like just thick, you know, like guys who have hands that are like meat hooks, man. They're like, their hands, they could crush your skull, like the guy's like that thick, right? And he was a no-nonsense bullshit, like, okay, we're going to build this. All right, everyone, here's your plans. And you're like, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm kind of competent at this, but he'd give it to, like, some people, and they'd be like, I don't know how to do this. What's glue? What's wood glue? What the, like, they're just lost, right? So, like, he could see I could do stuff, and there was one other kid that, like, oh, yeah, he's pretty good. So he'd give us, like, advanced projects, right? Like, hey, you build a clock, and he'd be like, here, build this wagon, or build this, like, race car. And you're like, a race car? What the fuck? You gotta make wheels? Anyways.
Yes, it's made out of wood. It'll be light.
Yeah, don't worry. You'll do fine. And it's like, what? And then all the girls are just making keychains, gluing two pieces. Making two little pieces of plastic, and they're putting it in, the melty oven. It's like, hey, look, I made a keychain. Anyways, so this guy, okay, this is the best. So this girl is trying to make a wooden airplane, okay? And she's, like, having a hard time with the bandsaw. And so he's like, oh, and he's getting frustrated, right? He's like, don't you he's like, give me the piece. He pushes her out of the way, grabs the piece, and then he looks at her as he pushes through the bandsaw.
Oh, no!
Dude, I was on the other side of the machine on the belt sander, and I just hear this, and then just blood everywhere.
Oh, God.
Now, this shows you how tough this fucker is. He chopped his fucking finger off. Do you know what he does? He says, go sit down. He doesn't. He just grabs his hand. He doesn't even give a shit. Blood is just fucking squirting out of his hand. He's like, everybody sit down. He goes, Steve, you're in charge of this class. Nobody moves. He goes, and someone, when I'm gone, clean up all this blood. And he walks out of the room.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wait. The best is this. Yeah. So to this day, he walked out of the room, and the entire class was stunned. Like, I mean, like Vietnam vet, like, first day on the job. Like, you're just like, oh, my God, did I just witness that? And I swear to God, buddy's like, is his finger still there? And I'm like, I'm not looking, dude. I'm not looking. And he's like, he told us to clean up the blood. He's going to be really angry if he comes back. And I'm like, I don't think he's coming back, man. I really don't think he's coming back.
Pretty sure he's not coming back.
Dude. Dude.
Unless his finger's still here, and then he's going to need it.
No, no.
To the hospital.
Listen to this. 5 minutes later, he walks in, bends down by the sheet, picks something up, walks out. He
got his
finger. Dude. I swear to my mother.
Hey, I'm sorry. I forgot my finger.
He didn't say anything. No, the dude was angry, right? He didn't say shit. But the best is the principal comes in later. He's like, all right, everybody, it's time to go. So I get home that day. My mom's like, oh, how was shop class?
How was shop class?
No, but my answer is like, well, the teacher chopped his finger off. And she's like, oh, don't lie. I'm like, I ain't lying.
I'm not lying.
Oh, that was just brutal.
No, I actually had a, like, because I work construction, but, like, the company that I work for, we do all sorts of different shit. One of the things, like, I spent, like, 4 years running our welding shop. We do, like, steel fabrication, like, make, like, wrought iron gates and shit like that for homes. And my friend John and I is like an ex-roommate of mine. He's basically like a little brother to me. I've known the guy forever. But him and I work in the shop together for a while. And we had like one day we're in there working, and like I just cut, you know, a cap for one of the posts that I was doing. I had to weld on and grind down and stuff. And I lay it up into the post, and it's like sitting up there with a magnet, like where it's got to sit. And John comes up, and he just had this weird like look on his face. He's like, he's all, hey, I gotta go to the bathroom, and like takes off and runs. And like, I was kind of on the other side of the shop, and it struck me as weird just because he's just all, hey, I gotta go to the bathroom, with a stupid smile on his face. And I walk back over to the post where I was at, and the fucking, the cap is gone. And I was all, that motherfucker took my cap that I just cut to go to, you know, to use for his. I'm like, you little son of a bitch. So while he's in the bathroom, I went in the office because it happened to be payday. Went in the office, grabbed his paycheck, threw it in his locker, and welded his locker shut.
You did not.
Yeah. So, then he comes back out, and fucking he comes back out, and I'm just all, hi, hey, you little dick. And he's just all, what? And I was just like, hey, I put your paycheck in your locker for you. And he walks over and goes to open his locker, and his locker's welded shut. And he's just all, you motherfucker, what the hell? You know, and like, to fast forward, the best part about this whole fucking story is the cap had just fallen over.
You did it for no reason.
Yeah, he had nothing to do with it. I don't know what the weird look on his face was for. I don't know. Maybe he had to poop. I don't know what was going on. But he just gave me this weird look. He's like, I got to go to the bathroom, and takes off running. So I thought he stole my shit. So, but actually, it was just laying inside the tube that I was going to cap.
That's hilarious.
So I weld his fucking locker shut. Well, so he's like, oh, you're a dick. Ah, and he's going to cut the fucking locker open. And with like a hand grinder and an abrasion blade. And it fucking, like, once he finally gets through the last weld, like, the door settled and like pinched the blade. So the blade rolls over the top of his fucking fingers and just fucking severs the tendons across fucking three of his fucking fingers.
Oh.
And so he's fucking bleeding everywhere. I had to fucking like haul ass, take him to the fucking hospital and fucking get his shit fixed up. I mean, he's fine now, but, and you know, we had to tell my boss that, like, you know, he just cut his hand while we were working. Not that I thought he stole the cap I was working on and welded his paycheck in his locker, and while he was trying to get his locker back open, he rolled the fucking blade of the saw over his fingers and severed the tendons across three of his fucking fingers.
Dude.
Oh, goodness.
That's brutal. Brutal. Oh, man. All right, well, we got a good one from, in fact, it's from Kevy Metal, because he had a good question earlier, and I was like, this is awesome. So, Durf, he asked, he goes, if you could switch lives with any person at any point in time, who would it be and when?
Oh, fuck, that's good.
I know, isn't it? That's a good one. I think I've changed my answer now. I tweeted something earlier, but I think I got a better one.
I think you got to skip me for a minute.
A couple people have changed their answers on this on Twitter.
Are you still Nikki Sticks?
Fuck yeah, Nikki Six, dude, 1982, 83, any one of those years. Fucking sex, drugs, and rock and roll, man, and makeup.
Yeah, I don't know how that actually is really good. I it was hard for me to think, but then I'm like, you know what? What about Steve McQueen? 1960s,
there are a lot of fucking good answers to this question, but at least me in my life, if I could trade places with anybody at any point in time, it would be fucking Nikki Six in the early 80s. And just, I'd live that dude's life out, you know, fuck mine.
That does look like fun for at least good 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Till you're fucking gone.
That dude fucking, like, overdosed on fucking heroin, died, saw himself in the ambulance, and then came back, got revived, went home from the hospital, and fucking shot himself up with heroin again. And then finally woke up the next morning and said, what the fuck is wrong with me? And that's when he got off of heroin. Yeah, which the music that's the same since then, but, you know, whatever.
That's when you know you're on heroin. Yeah,
that's when you know when you see yourself on the gurney, and then they bring you back, and you figure, well, shit, let's celebrate.
I need more of this shit, man. All right, Durf, you're on the spot.
All right. Okay, half my answer is going to be a cop-out, because I know Ben Clinton mentioned Bruce Lee, 1972. So I got to go with Bruce Lee or Ali during the early 70s, because during that time, you know, they were, like, on top of the world.
And at least you know Bruce is going to be assassinated, so you can stop it.
Well, yeah. This is my – okay, now, the theoretical part of this question. Well, I mean, the whole thing's theoretical. But what I think is, knowing that, like, okay, if you can't stop what's going to happen, I mean, if history's just going to – you're just going to be able to enjoy their life. Like, history's still going to take its course the way it does. Do you still want to be Bruce Lee knowing you're going to fucking die? Or do you want – would you pick somebody else? If you can't change the fact that you're going to die when Bruce Lee did, would you still have the same answer?
I think the experience I'd want is probably something that's completely different to how I'm living now. So, like, this total celebrity, just burn, like, candle that burns the brightest, just live as fast and as furious as you can, and just
die. Burn out.
Yeah, that's exactly, I mean, yeah, I would completely fucking agree with you. Like, I mean, Nikki Sixx isn't dead yet, but I still feel the same way. Like, I don't know, it's kind of like how I do things.
I thought you would have said Jimi Hendrix.
Hendrix? Nah.
Huh?
Nah. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. Hendrix is fucking awesome, but it's a whole different vibe than fucking, like, Nikki Sixx in the fucking hair metal days. Fucking, that's just on top of the world, man.
Although, how do you beat Optimus Prime? I mean, fuck. Leader of Autobots? I don't know. I might have to go like that. Take up Megatron?
You gotta be real person.
There is a guy. His name's Optimus Prime. He lives in Orange County, Florida. I don't know.
Or you'd at least be Prime pre-movie one.
I'll be Rodimus Prime. The most hated Prime ever.
Hey, you like, guys?
What is yours now, Maddie? We got fucking... I would be Nikki. Durf would be Bruce Lee.
Man. I guess I got to be Schwarzenegger when he started his career up, man. Conan. Imagine being Conan.
Be that one.
Okay. Conan, Terminator, the fucking Predator. That sounds like some fun shit, man.
Fuck and yeah.
And I get to fuck my housemaid? I don't know. Sounds pretty good to me.
I get to fuck everything that walks.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, like it's.
I
get
talking about fucking with fucking Mana Base about this. I was just all yeah. He's like, you're gonna get like fucking 14 different kinds of ED. I was like, yeah. Eventually, I get to fuck Kat Von D. I win. He's like, Kat Von D. That's like a plus or a check in the minus column. I was like, no. He's like, that bitch is a train wreck. Nah. Oh, I love me the damaged ones. Those are the best ones. They got the best pills and it's the best.
They got the best pills. Yeah, that chick is damaged though, man. Totally.
Shit is fucked up. But I'm still. Oh man. That's you know a little more insight into Kevy Metal. That's the type of shit I look for in a woman.
Damn right.
Damaged tattoos on her face. It's shit like that.
now here's an interesting question. This is kind of funny. So Magic Rogue 23M Doug Parker. He says he goes. Other than the awesome ass heavy metal, why are all the damn Canadian podcasts so good? Is it daily consumption of moose piss? No, it's not, motherfucker. It's maple syrup. I've been telling everybody.
Apparently, you Canadians just thrive on that shit.
Look, Canadian. Look, here's the thing. I mean, a lot of the American viewers or listeners, they might not like it, but it's true. If you live further north, you spend most of your time in cold weather, in shittier things. So you want to get back. So you bust ass. You know, it's true. Like you. They're funnier.
Life sucks, and so yeah. You have to.
Damn right. Like, my cousin moved to Canada.
It's kind of like the theory behind, like, the fucking fat, ugly people always have the best personalities because.
my cousin.
Have to make up for it.
Now listen, my cousin moved to California, and he was basically running his own business up here. He's making good money. He moved to California, and he's literally like surfing, and he's like, "Hey man, I'm a waiter." I'm like, "That's pathetic. What kind of life is that?" He's like, "What are you talking about? I make like $500 in a night working at the Sheraton. It's awesome. And then I get to surf all week." Yep. And he's like, "I have no motivation to do anything."
Basically, yeah, it ruins all motivation.
Meanwhile, snow is still falling.
This is my theory behind why all the fucking, you know, these Canadian podcasts are fucking awesome, is because all of them have one dude that lives in America.
I never noticed that.
I think that it's that mix.
Hey, me and Medina making it happen.
if it weren't for you,
now,
and Medina.
Now I'm gonna get a whole bunch of shit from all the Canadians, which is, you know, most of my friends nowadays for some reason.
If they ever let you in, man, you're coming up here. It'll be awesome.
Yeah. No, I think I'm actually allowed in Canada now. Like, I think my fucking time constraints are up, and I could get into Canada if I wanted to.
Well, we could try it at the border.
We'll have to test it out at the border.
Now, Marcel, good old Marcel, MTG, he asked us, he's like, what's our policy on mixing drinks, i.e. brown and clear or beer before liquor? I guess, first of all, I'll say, there's a policy?
My policy on mixing drinks is this exactly. The more, the merrier.
No, wait. Okay, so here's the thing. Have you ever, mix the drinks and it's turned out badly, or are you like immune to that?
No, never. Like, never is it. Like, I have had nights that have turned out badly, but very few and far between. Like, you know, I said before, I rarely ever fucking throw up. I rarely ever get sick off of fucking alcohol, but the only reason I ever do is because I drink way too much of it in way too short a period of time. If I'm just excited, I'm like, fuck yeah, we're getting hammered tonight. Usually that's when I throw up 20 minutes later and I'm But when I just, like I normally do, it doesn't matter. Like, I'll come home, fucking have a beer with dinner, then start drinking wine with my girlfriend, and then fucking, you know what? I'm going to have some cocktails and fucking, you know, just drink vodka for the rest of the night, and it's fine. It's no problem. Brown and clear doesn't matter. The only issue I have anywhere remotely fucking involving that is, like, when I drink, like, whiskey or rum, you have to drink it with, like, if you're going to drink it with anything, you got to drink it with, like, fucking, you know, brown, like, sodas, like Pepsi or Coke. I'm not a big fan of, like, the fucking, like, whiskey sours and shit like that. If I'm going to drink whiskey, it's going to be with Coke. If I'm going to drink rum, it's going to be with Coke. Vodka, you could drink with fucking anything. And tequila, that one's always iffy. That one just depends. But, yeah, I think other than that, like, the clear goes with clear soda, brown goes with brown soda, and that's it.
See,
all you want.
Now, see, it's funny because I'm usually okay, but I remember when I was really young and like my first time going out with like people and like, okay, like it's party time. And we went to this place and we'd been drinking beers so we played roller hockey freaking, you know, I don't know, for like 4 hours. So
that
we're
like the best part of fucking hockey tournaments when I was younger. Like, it was getting drunk with everybody on the team and then having to deal with it the next
day. Yeah, well, here's the worst. So, like, imagine playing for, like, 4 hours of hockey. So you're dehydrated. You have no food in your stomach. And then what's the smartest thing to do? Start drinking right, like, at the rink. So like, someone cracks a 2-4, so we're drinking beers. Now, we're drinking beers on a completely empty stomach, starving and dehydrated. This is already stupid, right? What do we do?
Oh,
we're like,
your body is completely worked over.
Oh, yeah, exactly, right? So then we're like, okay, let's go to this club real quick because there's some girls. So anyways, we head to this place and we start drinking freaking Boilermakers. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. And anyone knows what a Boilermaker is? It's like a beer and a shot.
It's a shot of whiskey, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a shot of whiskey.
Beer and a shot of whiskey, like the worst tastes that you can have.
It's horrible. I don't even know why. I have no idea why they were ordered. But anyways, so I'm now 3 beers in, a shot of whiskey, and then I'm like, you know what? I think I'm gonna just chill it out, and I'm gonna have, I don't know why, I'm gonna have a vodka and orange juice because I had figured that, hey, I need orange juice. Right?
Well, okay, now, I might have to retract my statement from before. Like,
now, I mean, I've
been plenty of mixing, but, like, when you go from Boilermakers to fucking screwdrivers, dude, that's just bound to fuck you up.
Oh, okay, so here's the best. So we're sitting there, and this is a club, right? And they're like, hey, man, the kitchen's closing. And I'm like, well, fuck, I am really hungry now. So somebody orders, like, wings and fries. And this is, like, bar food, but the worst bar food ever. Like, the most greasiest shit you've ever seen, and we're all starving, so we're just like all just eating the shit. So I eat like 4 or 5 wings, eat some fries, and then I stood up really quickly. So this is a club, the music is like just playing 80s to just something crazy, and I stand up really quickly. Now what's hilarious is I still have my roller skates on. Okay, I still have my, yeah, we'd never take them off. Like, we drive. Okay, disclaimer. We don't do this, but we would drive. We would drive with our skates on, right? So we were all, like, at hockey games.
I actually have done that before. Yeah. It's not safe in any way whatsoever.
Well, here's what's hilarious. I used to drive a manual car, so I could drive. Geez. A manual car with skates on. But anyways, so we're in this place, and I stand up really quick. And this has to say something of how good I am on skates, because I could stand up and didn't fall over, but all the blood went, like, just drained out of my head. And I'm like, holy shit, I'm going to hurl right here on this table, right? So I'm like, I got to get the fuck out of here. And I just skate, like, right across the dance floor. Thank God I had skates on. Right through people. I'm just, like, knocking guys over, right? They're like, what the fuck? And I'm like, dude, don't stop me. And
motherfuckers have to take a second look because they can't figure out why we're floating across the exactly. dance floor. They're like, that motherfucker's bad.
Yeah. So literally, I fly to this corner, and I think it's a door to the bathroom, and I open it, and it's a closet. And I'm like, oh, well. And I just... I sort of throw it, like, just huge puke all over.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so I puke the whole thing. So this is the funny. So I stand up, and I'm like, oh, that feels so much better. So I just close the door to the closet. And this guy's like, oh, man, what happened in there? I'm like, I don't know. But
you don't want to know, motherfucker. Go tell somebody else. It's their problem. Just fucking is between me and you.
I'm like, dude, you don't want to go in there. He's like, I don't think that's the bathroom. I'm like, well, it is now. So that was like, oh, that was the worst. Like, I was like sweating all night. That was horrible. Worst mixes of drinks ever.
That's brutal. We played a club one night where we fucking, like, short little quick story. We played a club one night where they completely tried to fuck us. Like, they had this little, like, green room in the back where we would just fucking, like, hang out. You know, we were hanging out before we went on. And then, like, we got angry because, like, after we already – a big thing when you're trying to make money and be out on the road is, like, guarantees. Like, it's one thing to, you know, if we're going to leave fucking town and go play somewhere else, like, we need some sort of guarantee of payment. And, you know, usually it's like, you know, okay, you got a fucking guarantee of fucking, you know, $200-$300 and then fucking whatever at the door or whatever. But at least we guaranteed have this to fucking cover our gas money and shit like that. Well, they tried to fucking scoop out from underneath because it was just a shitty night. Nobody showed up. So, like, they tried to scoop out from the fucking guarantee, which they didn't actually. We finally ended up getting the fucking money from them by the end of the night. Our manager handled business. But while they were trying to scoop out from underneath the guarantee, and they gave us each 3 beers, and that was all we had for a fucking
oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys all get 3 beers apiece. So we're like, fuck you. So anyway, yeah, we spent a good portion of our time hanging out backstage just pissing in the corner of the room. Like, we're just like, oh, really? Well, then you're going to have to pay your janitor all that money that you're trying to fucking scoop from us because this is going to get ugly.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, sometimes, like, yeah, sometimes shit like that has to happen. People need to understand.
What about you, Durf? You got a rule for drinking?
Well, it's really weird because, like, when I started drinking late, like, in university, and during that time, like, I was with friends who, like, went out to clubs and stuff, so it wasn't really, like, a bar scene. So, like, whenever you're pre-drinking whatever, it'd always be shots of, like, vodka or whatever. So that was pretty much all I drink before going to the club. So it's always liquor, so I'd always have, like, a few shots in me before I went. I didn't start drinking beer until much later, like, probably, like, I don't know, like, 5 years ago. I think the first time I actually drank a lot of beer, it was probably 3rd or 4th year. It was a friend's birthday, and then they were just hanging out. Like, we'd gone to dinner, we were just hanging out. I remember I was on a couch and like Team America was on and I was drinking a lot of beer and I like felt tired for like some reason. Like I only like I'm not a big guy and I'm Asian, so my tolerance for alcohol is like nothing. Like I'm probably gone after like three beers. but yeah, I remember getting really tired and like I actually passed out after like two beers and I woke up later and like someone had made food or ordered food or something. So I had some more food and eventually I just stumbled out when everyone was leaving. I just stumbled out of their house and I was walking on my way home and I just felt really dizzy and really sick. So like my head was spinning. Like I could barely walk straight. I was just stumbling. I the only thought in my head was like, I really want to go home. I just want to go home.
You're clicking your heels three times.
Oh God.
Oh, dude, I've been there so many times before. You get to that point where it's just, that's all you care about. You're just, I just need to be home right now.
Just like,
I just need that comfort of being home and maybe I won't throw up.
Just like everything just hurts. Everything is like just perpetual torture. So I finally get home. I didn't throw up, luckily, but I just remember that night being just like, I can't sleep. My entire body hurts. Everything's dizzy. I just want everything to stop spinning.
Oh,
so that was my first experience with beer, which is strange because like before it was just like liquor, which should usually be worse, right? But I don't know. Yeah. I've never drank the two in concert. It's always been separated for me.
Now, you know what's funny?
That makes sense.
One of my buddies playing roller hockey, he was a freaking, he used to drink like heavy. So he was like the man. He knew his shit. And I remember he told me this one beautiful piece of wisdom. And he's like, look, he goes, if you ever drink too much, right? And you lie down, you get in the spins and all that. He's like, here's the cure. He goes, you go get white bread. You buy a loaf of white bread and you start eating. Just loaf, like just slice after slice of bread. And he's like, it don't matter if you eat eight or nine slices, right? Because there's something in your stomach, it'll pull the toxins out, like, so you won't be so crazed. And I'm like, no way. But it's worked many times when I've drunk too much. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to eat like three pieces of toast. And then you're like, all right, in about 30 minutes, you're like, oh. Okay, I don't feel too bad now.
Mainly it just soaks up the fucking remaining alcohol that's in your stomach. But I had a friend of mine back in high school that the first time he got drunk. He got all hammered drunk the night before with us, felt like shit, you know, just like hammered asshole the next morning. But then, like, he talked to a girlfriend of his that's just, oh, well, it's because you're supposed to eat bread. So the next morning after he's all hungover, he's just all, oh, okay. So he goes to his fucking parents' kitchen and just starts hammering down pieces of bread and fucking threw up all over the place. Oh, no. And then, like, you know, this story we've fucking been talking about for years because it's fucking hilarious. First time he got drunk, whole other ridiculous long story attached to it, but like that part of it we've always talked about. And it's like, then he talked to her again later, like that night or the next day. He's like, what the fuck, you said the bread was supposed to fix it. She's like, no, you're supposed to eat that like the night before, or like before you go out drinking to soak up the alcohol. So basically he just fucking, he's all hammered, feels like shit, fucking first time he got drunk, stuff full of liquor, still drunk, half hungover, and he's just like, okay, well, I'll do this to fix it. And instead of fucking drinking water and taking some Advil, he hammers down like half a loaf of fucking white bread and just throws it up all over his parents' house. Good shit.
I swear to God, one time I was with my buddies in Montreal. We were there, and they'd gotten so drunk, and they were like, oh, man, remember what Armando said? It's the bread. It's the bread. And we walked into this grocery store, and it was like an all-nighter, and we literally just walked into the back of the bread section, and these guys, like, I'm not that tanked, but these guys start just ripping open, like, raisin bread, and they're just eating it.
That drunk logic, let's get all of the bread.
Yeah, well, no, this is the best. The argument is taking place. I'm just standing like, this has got to be stupid. First of all, no one's even going to pay for the bread. You're just going to eat it. And their argument is, we're only taking a few slices. Why would we buy the whole thing? So they think they could take the first slice out of the package and then put the package back and no one will know. This is completely logical. Right? Very smart. And then the argument is, well, is whole wheat better than raisin bread? And like, they're like, no, you want the raisins. I'm like, I don't see how raisins are going to make a difference.
There's more like Advil.
No, but the funniest is, I don't know, some manager, some freaking clerk, he comes over and he's like, hey, are you going to buy those? And I love drunk logic, right? Typical, straightforward question, are you going to buy those? And they're like, why would we buy them if we're only taking one slice? Like, this is what he says, and the guy's like, well, if you take it a slice, it's you've opened it, and now you have to buy the whole thing. And so they all look at each other like, oh, I don't, it's just not worth it. I don't want a whole loaf of bread. And he's like, it's only 99 cents. Nah, it's not worth it, man. They just walk out. It's fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Oh, shit, but we've taken the one slice of bread out of, like, 12 loaves of bread.
Oh, yeah, they made a mess. It was hilarious.
I love how, like, for the last, like, 3-4 episodes of Heavy Meta, we have just abandoned magic content whatsoever.
Okay, well, this goes to the magic people who release stuff. Release something or do something because it's boring. Yeah, there's nothing something. Going on.
There's like, got to be. Something magic fucking no. related you talk about.
Okay,
no.
Stan, no, Stan.
Not a little.
More stories. More stories.
Well, look, okay, so, like, here you go for the magic wheel. Okay, so standard. Okay, well, you've got the same decks that have existed. There's the Bant deck that just blew up and it sucks. You know, you got Prime Speakers again that's fallen off a chart. Like, you know, it's back to night.
I have a random ass new, like, I mean, this is not new to most people, but new thing to fucking me that I'm all, like, hammering out this week. So, like, okay, I never get to go to fucking F&M, ever. Like, because I always have my son Friday night, so I can't ever fucking go to F&M. So my, you know, son and my girlfriend are in Oregon for a week visiting her mom. And I have the house to myself. I tweeted this shit earlier. I was like, they're gone for a week, and my fucking living room looks like Magic the Gathering threw up all over my living room. Because awesome. Literally, like, Daniel, like, there's a lazy boy in the living room that doesn't even belong there. On the other side of the table, because I got like one of those corner couches, and so like we can't play that way, and so I dragged the lazy boy out of the other room and set it down, and now lazy boy is sitting across from the fucking couch. Both our play mats are still sitting on the fucking coffee table. There's tokens laying everywhere, there's dice laying everywhere, there's deck boxes, fucking like my nice. Fucking 5,000 count boxes laying around. But anyway, I get to go to F&M this week. So I was like, fuck yeah, I finally get to go to fucking F&M because I never get to go. And I go and I look at the fucking store to find out what the fucking format is this week. Like two modern. Weeks ago, it was modern. I would have been fucking stoked. No. This week, it's fucking Innistrad Block Constructed.
Who plays that?
Yeah, apparently, like, nobody on the planet. But I was just like, really? Could you not come up with a more obscure fucking terrible, like, you know, you could have just put, like, you know, oh, this week's F&M, Black Cards. What, like, what the fuck is that? Innistrad Block Constructed. That is such a fucking random ass thing for F&M to be. But I started thinking. I was like, you know what? I'm going to fucking go anyway. So I was like, okay, what could I build for Innistrad Block Constructed? Because that's a format I've never looked at and probably will never look at again.
Flashback Spiders.
But in paper, like, I realized, like, in paper, that's actually good for me because that's where the majority of my paper collection came from, because that's when I fucking started, you know, really getting into Magic, and that's when I was just buying booster packs constantly just because, and, like, hoping I was, you know, instead of, like, spending that money on the cards I needed, I'm like, yeah, but I might just fucking open them and it'll be way better, and fucking, so I've got shit tons of shit of stuff from Innistrad Block. So I was like, all right, well, what, you know, what do we have? So we have, from as far as I can tell, and I could be completely wrong about this, but from Innistrad Block, like, the best archetypes I could possibly think of are fucking mono black zombies and red white humans. And I built both of them. I tore apart a bunch of shit that I had, and I built both of them. And, like, last night, me and Daniel were fucking, like, you know, we ended up playing a bunch of fucking modern matches, too. But we grinded through a little bit with the zombies versus fucking humans deck. And then we're actually going to do some more of that tonight because I actually want to figure out which one of them I'm going to play. I'm curious what you think, Maddie, what you think is going to be a better fucking strategy.
Do you have all the cards, though? Or are you short anything?
No, that's what I was – like, for the most part, I have, like, everything I need for them.
So you're red – okay, so red, red humans got four Pillar of Flames.
No, that is the only thing that I do not have. I have one Pillar of Flame in paper, but I'm going to grab those. Those are going in the sideboard.
Main deck, dude. Main deck. If you're going to play it, yeah, you have to. Because I played actually that for some reason. I don't know why the fuck I played it at a store, but I did. And I played
Pillar of Flame needs to be there, but I only own one, apparently. Like, I looked through all my shit, and I only own one. That's one of the only cards that I don't have that I thought of that I needed. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of shit that I could have that, you know, might make the decks a little better. But for the most part, I mean, like, that needs to go in the red-white humans fucking – well, I thought
so. And your sideboard, you got to have Purify the Grave because the reanimator strategy in block is brutal.
Really?
Oh, yeah. See,
and this is why I'm asking you guys this, because, like, the way I looked at it, like, zombies and either green-white humans or red-white humans, I figured would be the most prominent.
No, it's Lingering Souls. It's the black-white Lingering Souls deck that you got to watch out for. Zombies is fairly beatable. If you're playing red-white humans, you're fast as shit, but Lingering Souls clogs up the board, so you need to find a way to...
True, that's true.
What is it? Curse of Death's Hold. But then you got to run black. I can't remember what my strategy was to take out Souls tokens, but
right now, like, my red white humans list is, of course, you know, Paladin, Lightning Mauler, Champion of Parish, Fiend Hunter, I'm just trying to think off the top, Gather Townsfolk.
And you got to be running what's his Hell Rider, right?
Well, no, I was actually going to put, like, my thought for this deck, I'm running four Hell Rider, but I'm running them in the sideboard because everything in the main deck is human. And running, like, the fucking Silver Inlay Dagger, shit like that. And, like, everything fucking synergizes with the humans. But I was going to run four Hell Riders sideboard so that if I need to just, instead of, you know, say fuck the humans and just roll fucking, like, roll strong with fucking the aggro, like, red-white aggro.
You know what you want to? Rally the Townsfolk. That's that pump card that flashes.
Oh, no, back. Rally the Peasants? Yeah, that's in the
sideboard. Rally the Peasants, yeah.
The red-white, or the white with red flashback. Fucking.
Yeah, I'd run two in the main. I wouldn't put that in the board. Like, cause what you want to do is you want your main to be really fast, and then you want your sideboard just to be replacement strategies for redundant parts.
Well, that's actually a good suggestion, because, like, my sideboard was, like, for the red-white humans deck was to, like, if I have to go long, I'm actually running three Gisela sideboard.
Gisela's sick, man.
Gisela's awesome, but, like, I mean, the deck strategy is to fucking haul ass. But
you know what you need,
running fucking Gisela, Angelic Overseer, Riders of Gavany, Butcher's Cleaver.
That's
in the sideboard.
Actually, no, it's Riders of Gavany. So the win, I smashed 6-0 doing this. You go red by humans, and then what you want to do is you want to sideboard two or three Riders of Gavany, and that card comes in when you're playing, like, a Souls deck, or you're playing, like, something, they're going to put a bunch of tokens, because you go, Riders of Gavany, Spirit, boom, Alpha Strike. Like, that turn.
Oh, right on, right on.
Right? And then you got to be prepared for Reanimator's a bitch, and you got to have Zealous Conscripts, man.
Yes, Conscripts is in the deck, too.
And you have to have a way.
I love that card.
I forgot the tech. There's something that's, like, anti-Zealous. Cloud Shift, yeah. The blink card, the one white?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, so that's you got to run that too, man, because if you're playing the block, there's going to be these Zealous Conscripts battles after turn 5 where they're going to try and take your shit and Alpha Strike you, and if you can't Cloud Shift to save yourself, because there's no removal, right?
That actually makes a lot of sense. Like, I was kind of checking shit out. Like, I came up with my list, and I was looking at some other lists, and I saw Cloud Shift in there in one of the lists, and I didn't even get what it was for. I just kind of glazed over. I remember seeing it, and I was just like, oh, Cloud Shift, what really does that do in this deck? And I was just like, eh, fuck it. And I think actually what I used your face shield.
Face shield too. That's awesome.
The face shield took up the fucking Cloud Shift spot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot face shield. Yeah. Yeah, I'd run that. Because it's basically your counterspell or your anti, you know, destruction card, like.
But now on the flip side of things, what, like, actually was winning the matches was the. I mean, they were close as shit, but what was winning the matches were the fucking mono black zombies.
This is mono black and not mono or blue black zombies.
No, just mono black zombies. Like, wow. It's all of the zombies, like, you know, fucking messenger. Gravecrawler, Highborn Ghoul, Diagraph Ghoul. I'm actually running the Butcher Ghoul, like the little, was it one drop fucking 1/1 undying zombie? Because I was kind of looking at block, I was like, okay, this isn't quite the zombies deck that I could play before, but I mean, this works.
But actually, one thing that I found that has actually worked out really well in the little bit of playtesting, I'm going to test some more tonight, but the playtesting that I was doing is Undying Evil. Shitty little fucking common I've never cared about before.
Gives your creature undying. That's sick.
Well, yeah, this shit's fucking awesome. Creature gets undying for one, so like that's fucking incredible with fucking these all my zombies besides fucking Gravecrawler.
So check this out. I was playing this guy in the standard room yesterday, and he's got a junk deck for standard that runs Undying Evil. So he totally blew me out. He basically blocks with a Resto Angel and then Undying Evils it. It comes back into play, bounces his Thragtusk. I'm like, fuck you. It was brutal. Like
that's fucking funny.
It was awesome.
That's a little over my head as far as like, you know, brewing wise, but that's fucking sick.
It was good.
All I was doing it for was just like, oh sweet, fucking Gravecrawler, you know, like, you know, swing in with, you know, your aggro, swing in with your Gravecrawlers, put fucking put Undying Evil on one of them so that he doesn't, so he comes back out, then I've got my fucking army back again. You know, like next turn I can just recast all my fucking Gravecrawlers.
You think about it though, if I was going to play black, I'd play black red, because then I get Falcon Wrath Aristocrat and I'd get Olivia. Man.
That's the other thing. I am limited in paper. I'm limited as far as some of that shit goes. Like I have all the cards for like that I would really want for mono black zombies and for, but like I own one Olivia in paper and I own no Falcon Wrath Aristocrats. I thought about red black vampires too, but I just I don't know. Without having those, what's that?
Sorry, is this the kind of deck that wants Blood Artist? Are you running Blood Artist?
Oh yeah, I am running Blood Artist. That's the only like non-zombie that's in there, and it's also got like fucking Tribute to Hunger, Barter and Blood, that kind of shit. And so it's like the deck itself. I mean, it's a fucking aggro zombies deck, but it's abusing Blood Artist too. You know, while it's at it. And then of course, like my sideboard is just basically fucking chock full of, Victim of Night, Human Frailty, shit like that to deal with humans, because I figure humans is probably going to be the most dominant thing other than...
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, I'm running, like, my removal stuff in the main deck is, what is it, 4 Tragic Slip, 4 Deathwind, and I don't remember what else is in there.
Oh, you should be running Killing Wave too, dude.
Oh, yeah, Killing Wave is a good idea.
Because Smitty had that awesome idea where it's like basically Alpha Strike where you Killing Wave your entire board and everyone with a Blood Artist on the table, and it's like 8 or 9 points.
Oh, yeah, it just fucking goes nuts. No, actually, Killing Wave is a good idea. I totally forgot about that. And for some reason, it's because every time I look at Deathwind, like the artwork for some reason, I don't know why it fucks with me, but every time I look at Killing Wave and Deathwind, I always assume they're the same card. They're not even close to the same card. But yeah, actually, Deathwind's probably a good one too.
Killing Wave over Deathwind any day.
But then I pop out fucking, playing humans, I can pop out fucking all of that removal and just bring in fucking just human hate. So...
Yeah,
I don't know. Like I'm really kind of curious to see where this is going. And it's funny is because like I never have to like worry about this kind of thing. I never have to be like, oh, I'm playtesting for a fucking tournament. And it's the fucking FNM, and it's the most awful fucking FNM ever. And I'm like excited about it. I'm just all, oh yeah, we're gonna fuck. Well, that's also probably because my girlfriend's out of town, and all I have to do is play Magic and go to work.
Well, actually, you know what? Innistrad isn't that bad. It's Scars of Mirrodin. That's horrible. Block format, man.
Oh yeah, I bet it is. That before.
Hey, I'm making your stuff artifacts, and now I'm blowing it up. Oh, I'm making your lands artifact. Oh, the Liquid Metal Coating deck, where like you just play all artifact destruction, you keep turning everything into an artifact, is so people will pull their hair out. It's brutal.
I have heard of that, wasn't around for that. So thank God.
That was like when I first got into Modo. I'm like, hey, I'll jump into block. I'll play block. I got a lot of these cards. I was like, this sucks. This is just garbage.
This fucking.
I'm like, hey, I got one land. It's turn 8. This is awesome.
I'm just bitter because I can't like. I was all fucking stoked because I could finally fucking go and play fucking FNM. Because I know I've talked about this, you know, a few episodes back, but like my store just started doing FNM like, you know, a few months ago, and like at first they were just like, this month we're gonna do standard, and then this month we're gonna do modern. And then, like, then the third month, they're like, okay, well, we're going to do, like, fucking standard, then sealed, then modern, then draft. Like, you know, we'll mix it up like that. I was like, oh, cool. That would actually be a really cool thing for you guys to do. Because then, I mean, you're alternating back and forth. You got, you know, four different popular formats. But for apparently, they're just like, okay, cool, we did that. Now we're going to start doing obscure-ass fucking formats. And, like, they're probably going to do, like, Momir next fucking week. This or that. No,
Momir.
I'm kidding.
But, oh, okay.
But or like 100 card singleton, or you know, and then Legacy the next day when there's like eight people in this town that play Magic. Like I'm like, okay, you guys are fucking reaching now. You need to fucking knock it off. But I was like stoked about like Modern. Fuck yeah, I'm gonna go fucking play the Modern. It's gonna be fun. No, I get this, but I am excited about fucking going to play.
Oh, oh man,
Modern. Yep. I started playing in paper. I haven't like ported it over in on Moto yet, because I haven't actually been playing much Moto lately. That red green fucking Saito deck, standard deck that I was playing before.
Yeah.
Jay Boosh gave me a list that kind of ports it over to Modern, makes a few changes. I mean, it's still fairly close, but it kind of ports it over into Modern, running like Goblin Guides, Kurt Apes. Fucking what else changed? Ah, there's a few other things that changed, but and I was actually pretty stoked because I've been playing that lately, you know, here, because I mean we basically play Modern casually in the house, and so I've been playing that lately, and my fucking god, that deck runs like a champion. And then while I'm doing it, last night and the night before, we were fucking, me and Daniel were sitting here fucking grinding matches out between the two of us, and we were watching the GP San Diego from this past weekend, while we're playing and shit. And I'm laughing my ass off, because like the dude that happened to be on the side of the TV that's my side of the fucking table, like our boards look the same. It's like, fuck yeah. It's fucking like there's like a Goblin Guide, Flint Hoof Boar, Burning Tree Emissary out on the board, and I look up and I'm like, well, if I just move these two, like if I switch these two right here, then I got the same fucking board this guy does. So apparently that's a deck that people are running in Modern now.
Yeah, I watched Scotty's stream. He had a cool deck using Blood Moons and trying to choke people out with Blood Moon. So it's like,
hey,
the fuck.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it was awesome. That was hilarious. And I'm like, ah, I know where you got those ideas from.
No, I read his article about it. Like,
so did I. It was good.
Like the first line, it was just like, well, maybe not the first line, but it was like right off the bat. He's just all, so we learned from some mistakes last week. And, you know, some strategies I've never paid that much attention to before, but fucking Blood Moon, that seems awesome. And I'm going to change this deck up and I'm going to start playing this. It's got Blood Moon in it because that's awesome. I'm like, I told you.
Nah.
Fucking love it.
So before we wrap up with shoutouts, Durf, what's your favorite Magic card of all time?
Favorite Magic card? Oof. I don't know if I can name one. Well, my favorite pet card is Questing Feldegriff, which people may know. If you
yes,
like, half my tweets are about that fucking card.
Now, where did that come from?
I don't know. I think when I was playing in high school, I was playing during like type two at the time was like Invasion and Mercadian Masks, and Planeshifter deck just come out, and I thought this is a pretty cool card because there's an Invasion enchantment called Dueling Grounds that came out at the same time. So Dueling Grounds is a green white one enchantment that says only one creature can attack and block each turn. And one of the abilities of Questing Feldegriff is that you can pump it for green, but you can put a hippo into play under the opponent's control. So what you do, what my stupid ass deck did was that I put down Dueling Grounds, then this stupid hippo card, and then I pumped it for whatever amount. So he gets like 10 guys or whatever, but it doesn't matter because only one creature can attack and block, and they just give him flying and swing in for whatever. So it's kind of a dumbass deck, but my love for the card did not wane. So yeah, that's like my pet card. Yeah, like, but competitively, like, I play a bit of Legacy, so I think my favorite card at the moment is Entreat the Angels, because that's the win con and the Miracle Control deck.
Yeah.
I always have, like, I have a soft spot for that card. It's just, like, and I mean, maybe that started because, like, right as I was really getting into, like, the competitive side of Magic, like, just, you know, some of my first introductions into it were right around then, and watching, like, you know,
that was like Avacyn Restored was the first like pre-release, like the first fucking tournament I ever went to. And, you know, seeing, you know, the miracles were just coming out and everybody was like groaning about them. They're like, this is a garbage mechanic. And of course I'm a fucking new kid. I'm like, these are fucking awesome. And then like, just I got an Entreat the Angels as cause I like, I accidentally fucking placed third in that fucking tournament. And like the rare, you know, they let you pick, they had like a stack of rares that, you know, you got your packs for winning, and then they, you know, first place got first pick out of the rares, and second place got, I don't remember who, I think like Tameo was the first fucking pick, and then the dude took a foil Vexing Devil, because when the set first came out, they thought it was going to be good. And then the third one, I got, you know, I got third, so I got to fucking Entreat the Angels, and it just like kind of stuck with me. And ever since then, dude, I've loved that fucking card. That is a huge pet card of mine too.
Yeah, you just, no, go on.
There's just something about the card where it's like it's so over the top, like it's totally like a Timmy card, but at the same time, like you rip it off the top or you set it up with counterbalance or
Chandra.
Top or something stupid like that. Yeah. And you just like it's just so over the top, but it just but it's so competitive at the same time. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it is.
See, you know what's funny? It's like I remember when I first started playing tournaments or like just going to things. But like Wall of Blossoms. That card, when I saw it, you because it's just a shitty little wall that you draw a card, but when it's like you see like a good guy use it, I remember I was like, I'm going to go look through all my boxes and find me some of those. Because I was like, well, I saw a guy who built a Wall of Blossoms, basically a stall blue-green deck, and with Tradewind Riders and capsizes. And it's literally, I'm like, how do you win? He's like, well, I'll just bounce all your shit till you quit. And literally, you're like, no, you're not. There's no way you're gonna beat. I got Shivan Dragons. I got. There's no way. And he's like, yeah, go ahead. And he's like, Manowar, you know, capsize. You trade one wider, bounce, 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 bounce. Wall of Blossom, draw a card. And you're like, I fucking hate you. But then the first thing you do is go home and be like, where's all my blue and green cards? Try and do it too.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, now, I understand that feeling too. I don't know. I'd have to save my favorite card. That's kind of hard because I've got a fucking super boner for Burning Tree Emissary, but like that's kind of like
how can it not be Lightning Bolt?
Well, I was getting to that. like Burning Tree Emissary, I just love that card, and it just like I mean obviously it's a good card, but just, there was something about it as soon as it got spoiled that just fucking I fucking love that card. And so like at this point that's like my favorite card, but it's a newer thing. But I'd have to say that yeah, Lightning Bolt is probably my fucking favorite card of all time. Yeah, that is just the best fucking card for me.
Yeah. Now here's one because we got Durf on. Now what's your favorite Magic art?
Oh God. Oh man.
I know there's so many.
There's a ton.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
I'll go first then, because when I first saw M10 come out and I got the promo Sun Titan that's all yellow.
Oh yeah.
Literally was like, you gotta be fucking like I was like, that's the sickest fucking art ever. And I was like, just I was going after all these people. You got promo Sun Titan. I need to place it. And I just fought till I got my playset, and it is. I love that card. That card is just gorgeous. Love that.
That's true. That's a good one.
Besides lands, anything full art lands, but that yeah. Sun Titan art was hot. I like that one.
I have to say, I think, like, still my favorite Magic artwork, and I could be wrong about this because I don't have too much time to really think it through and second guess myself, but I still got to say fucking Fires of Undeath is, like, for some reason, the artwork to that fucking card, I love it. It's fucking beautiful. I have a playmat of it. It's a shitty-ass common. It's a terrible fucking card. But Fires of Undeath, that fucking – the pasty white chick in the black fucking dress and the headdress – with fucking the blue flames coming out of her hand with the fucking red, like, cathedral fucking background thing going on.
That is cool.
Like, I don't know why, but, like, that has always stuck with me as the first fucking playmat I bought, and, like, I love that fucking artwork.
Chick is kind of creepy, too. Like, she's got, like, the eyes and, like, the – what she's wearing is almost like a wedding veil, right? It's like, oh.
That's what
it's like a fucking black lace wedding veil. That or ooh, another one that I actually really like is fucking Core Spirit Dancer. I'd fuck her like nobody's business. She's hot. Anyway.
Durf.
All right, so this is probably going to be like a two-parter because I love the new art, but at the same time I love like the old nostalgic, like weird,
poopy
zany art. So when I was like playing when I was 10 or 11, I used to love all of Mark Poole's artwork. Like, when you look back, it looks really, really, like, rudimentary and whatever. But I always loved looking at, like, the landscape art that he did. So one of my favorite cards back then is this land from Fallen Empires called Ruins of Trocaire.
Yes, the one that makes soldier tokens, right?
It's worse. It's so much worse.
The one that stores white mana.
Yeah, the outpost is the one that makes soldiers from alliances. Ruins of Trocaire was this uncommon 3 or whatever rarity it was from Fallen Empires. So it comes into play tapped. It taps for white, and you can sack it to add 2 white mana to your mana pool.
That's right.
So it's terrible card. But I always look at the artwork and it's just like, oh, I just imagine like this like broken down castle off in like this empty field somewhere, like a sunny day, like just thinking about like what kind of shit's in that castle and like what kind of shit's all around. Just kept daydreaming like
I love the way you think. I am.
Like that's the kind of kid I was.
Castle.
Like what's in there? It's like awesome shit, like treasure, you know.
Oh, of course. I remember I would build decks based on the artwork of and the story. Like I'd be like, well, this is the angel, and then there was this, and Sarah Angel was battling with this. Oh, and I need this thing, you know. Oh yeah, I would totally do that.
Yeah. Totally. Like, but like these days, like there's so much art these days. It just looks so awesome. Like I can't really pick one out. I think.
Yeah, it's really hard. Like not to say that like a million other fucking cards don't have amazing art on them, but
yeah,
I mean, the quality.
Sometimes you gotta pick one.
Yeah, the quality of the art is, I mean, you can say what you want if you like certain styles, you don't. That's an opinion, but, you know, the art in general is just, it's fantastic, man. Got to give it to the props, man. Early shout out to any of the artists on that MTG and the art directors, because their shit is very good.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and one of the things I've noticed, too, I like how they've gone, like, different directions, I guess. Like for most of the shit that I saw, you know, especially back like in fucking the mid 90s, you know, into the 2000s, they not necessarily stuck with a certain art style, but for the most part, they were different artists, but it all looked similar. But then, like, what I've noticed is as the years have gone by and, like, you know, now even the shit we're doing, like, you'll go from, like, you know, one picture that is completely, like, computer like
CG looking driven,
like CG looking like fucking like I remember I think one of the first things that stuck out to me about this is like the artwork for Sorin's Vengeance. You know, the artwork is cool, it looks fucking awesome, but it's very, very CG. Yet then you can go across the board, you know, same set, go across the board and find something else that is like completely like hand painted beautiful fucking artwork. And then you get into like I can't remember the name of the fucking card. Therese Nielsen.
Yeah.
It's a green card.
Yeah.
But
Descendant's Path.
Yep, that's the Descendant's Path, yeah.
But it doesn't even like it almost seems like it just doesn't even belong in or you know, on a Magic card, just because of like the shit that's going on in that fucking picture. But at the same time, it's so perfect. It works so well. Like it kind of goes to show you, at least, you know, I harp on Wizards a lot, but the fact that they are going in different directions art wise like that,
I mean, they're
still keeping it what it is, but I love the fact that they're doing that. And I love the fact that they're introducing like different styles of art into the card rather than just a bunch of different artists doing fantasy art.
Well, here's the thing.
They're like, bringing a lot to it.
I think what they – like, I love that they – you know, because it's also an art game. Like, you know, like there's that whole part of it. So I like that they bring different artists, and I don't care.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I have no issue with the style changing subtly.
No, I actually like the style changing. Like,
I agree. Now, my biggest problem is, though, bad artists. Like, there's people that just draw, like, sometimes, man, there's, like, hips on chicks, and you're like, there's no way the human hip can bend that way. Or, you know, they're like, look at the guy's arm is completely out of the socket. Like,
what were you thinking?
Yeah, like, that's
one example that comes to mind is probably, like, the promo Fireman Angel, right?
Yeah.
So I look at that and see, like, that one of those legs doesn't really work out correctly.
There's another card where, like, the guy has 3 arms. I can't remember what it was. I'll have to dig it up. But there's, like, obviously there's some big mistakes. But, like, I think in general, though, if you look back at, like, you look at Fallen Empires, and you're like, wow, like, your color palette was black, green,
and Traitor. And look up that card. That artwork is amazing.
There were some good cards. But, I mean, the overall thing, like, this set was too, ugh, I don't know, it's just boring looking, right?
Well, I noticed, too, about, like, you know, at least now, like, the, doesn't matter what they're actually, like, what the art is of. I mean, you know, of course it does matter, but, like, it doesn't matter what the art is of. It's all, like, fucking, like, lately it's all been solid, fucking beautiful, amazing fucking artwork. And I mean, maybe that comes from having more money from Hasbro and shit like that, but you look at back at some of the fucking random shit that you used to see, and it's like, how did that make it on a card? Like, I mean, look at, what, Ball
they
Lightning?
They have budgets.
Like, there was, like, oh, one of the art,
that bad. Come on.
One of the artworks for Ball Lightning, it's like, you know, I could have done that with spray paint. Like, and it, like, there's other shit. Like, I've got this card that is sticking out of my head. I couldn't tell you what the fuck it is. Awesome
for a podcast game.
It's, yeah. No, it's a random ass fucking card that I got out of some random ass pack. Like, they had, like, packs at the 99 cent store that just said Magic on them. They're, like, resealed fucking packs. And I had to grab a couple just to see what the fuck they were all about. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And it's basically, like, some company that just reseals playing cards of different sorts. And markets them that way. Jeebus, actually, I posted a picture on fucking Twitter a long time ago. And Jeebus is all, yeah, my fucking coworker found a bunch of those and, like, yeah, they're garbage, which they were. But they're just basically a bunch of old ass fucking commons and fucking,
yeah,
you know, I don't even know if there's any uncommons in them. They're just all repacked. Anyway, there's this fucking card I got out of one of them. It's an old ass, like, old border fucking white card. But all I remember is, like, it's a fucking, this kind of, like, weird bright colored fucking dude riding a zebra. But he's got, like, a mustache, like a fucking Frenchman. Fucking, it looks like some sort of, like, French infantry riding a zebra. And it was the most terrible.
All right. Now I got to feel like I should know this card.
I have to find this for the art for the show now. What is this? Okay.
Oh, my God. I mean, I can dig through my white shit and find it.
You dig.
While we're talking about other things, I will find this.
Well, here, before we wrap up, we'll talk really quickly. So Dragon's Maze is coming. Durf, what do you think? Do you think there's anything in there? Do you have any speculation on it? Do you have any ideas? Because we basically don't know jack shit.
Yeah, like, in Gatecrash, like, a part, like, a big part of the story, from what I could tell, is...
That's about it.
The what?
So don't we know Ral Zarek's coming in, and that's,
yeah,
about,
we
it?
Know Ral, yeah, we know Ral's going to be in it, and we know that, I believe there's a land... Apparently, there's a land card that if you get 20 gates in play, you win, or something, 10 gates...
Yeah, and, like, which, a big part of the story.
Probably 20, it's probably 20 because it's the 20th anniversary, bro.
That's the 2020, man.
Hey, it's a, you got to have 4 times 20 of the gates, bro.
And it costs 20 mana to tap every time, dude.
They're never going to see it coming, bro. They don't even fucking know.
I'm just playing Fogs and Lands.
Fogs and Gates, bro. It's going to be the next fucking tournament deck.
I'm gonna be fog,
and we should call it
20
Fogs and Gates.
Jeez. We call it 20 Gates, man. Oh, that'd be fucking hilarious. Anyways, Durf, what do you think?
No, like,
back on Dragon Maze.
They're always talking about in Gatecrash about, like, how, like, the guild lists are rising up and, like, they're starting to get, like, pissed off at all these guilds that are trying to impose themselves on other people, right?
Oh,
so I kind of feel like they're going to, like, fuck around with the colors a lot. So, like, maybe,
that,
like,
a lot
of combinations
of sense.
Like,
well,
three colors, hybrids, you know, like, it's like breaking up the hierarchy. So that's,
now,
that's what
now,
I'm kinda...
Have you heard that horrible rumor about, what, 5 of the mythic rares being the...
The Nephilims?
Yeah, the whole...
Oh, dude, that better not happen because I might quit Magic.
Well, I gotta say that would kill the set because it, you know, one of them is a land that I gotta get 20 gates for. The other 5, so half of the mythics are just garbage. Like, ugh, like,
you know what? I want that. I want those 5 legendary.
God damn it!
Because I play EDH.
Yeah, yeah, but they're gonna, like, it's weird that it's a small set, so you gotta get 10 guilds in there. I think you could be right that a lot of the arguments people are making that you can't have mechanics because there's only, like, 10 cards for each guild or something like that, or 7 cards.
Oh, okay.
So maybe you're right. Maybe they just abandon the, like, I actually don't think that's a bad idea. Just abandon the guild structure entirely and go with, like, a mishmash kind of,
well,
like, build.
Side, you do get to choose which guild you are for the pre-release, right?
Because all of the guilds.
Well, and we're going to have guild champions too, right? Because they didn't do guild champions yet, so yeah, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Could be interesting.
See a new Tessa, because she was one of my favorite legends.
Yeah.
Oh, I found it!
What is it called?
Master Decoy.
Oh my god, I know
that.
Yeah. Holy shit, that's right. Okay. That
is the most terrible fucking artwork.
Okay, I'm gonna call this episode.
Ever seen Master Decoy?
Calling it Master Derfcoy.
He's got like the awesome little like decoy flags sticking out.
Yeah, he's
back.
Got fucking like, random ass
flags riding on his front. On his horn.
Yeah. What's that?
Unicorn's yes, got on his
he's
horn.
He's got one on his horn. Oh, fuck it. 97, the signature.
Oh my god. Yes.
Tempest is awesome.
Horrible. Yeah.
Phil Foglio, I'm sorry. But,
Foglio, that's right.
But that was a bad idea.
Whoever designed that card, that's
like horrible. That dude had to be on LSD. Because
oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's like random ass fucking like I don't know if those are goblins or some sort of fucking oh no, I think those are his homies. Yeah, those are his homies standing in the background. That are just all fucking, yeah, dude, go get it. And he's looking back at him like, you guys are assholes. You sent me out with these flags on a zebra wearing all these bright ass colors and I'm about to get raped.
Did you just see the argument, dude? They're like, guy, okay, here's what we need you to do. The entire army's going this way. We need you to go that way. Okay, okay. Now, and you know, at first he's like, all right, okay.
Yeah, he's, no, okay, that's so, the worker's lawyer, dude.
No, stick.
So
they're like, okay, so he's like, okay, so do I get like a sword? Do I get like a big horse with armor on it? Do I get like a mage? Do I get some magic dust? No, man, we got a zebra and all these flags to draw their attention.
You know he lost the bet.
We're gonna say, yeah, that guy totally lost the bet.
You didn't sue Poles Tamale. You get on that zebra and you
like
go.
Like the card suggests, he's the master decoy, which that's not a master decoy by any means.
That's a pathetic.
Like, either he is, you know, the decoy or the dude completely lost a bet and all of his friends are back there holding their swords and spears up laughing their ass off. They're just all, ha ha! And now, like, if you could see from the camera's point of view, it's like the other side and everybody else on the other side is laughing too and everybody's drinking, having a good time.
Or the guy got so drunk on mead. They're like, hey man, you gonna go into battle? Yeah, I'm totally going into battle. They're like, give me my horse. And they like give him a zebra. And like, here's your shield.
Oh, man.
Go, yeah. Man. Go. You can do it, dude. He's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, dude, 20, bro. Go.
Well, and, yeah, and he's also rolling through purple grass. So, yeah.
Definitely Phil, LSD.
Like, Phil, painting on LSD is always a bad idea.
Go ahead and point out the hat one time.
Oh, my God. Yeah, what the fuck is going on with that hat?
All right, well, here, let's wrap up on this
feathers.
Question.
Yes! Hold on. Got the yellow feathers, too.
All right, rapid fire. What's at the center of Niz-Mizzet's maze? Derf. Go.
Cotton candy.
Kevy.
Rapid fire?
Rapid fire. Come on, man, rapid fire. What's at the center of the maze?
I'm going to say 2020-4-4. Creature.
A giant gate. I'm going to say it's a portal to the next world. Boom. That's what I'm saying. Because the planeswalker, Ral, he's going to get sucked into it at the end of the story, and boom, he's going to be in the core set. Or, no, not the core set, but he'll be in the next block. Yeah, that's it. Or something.
It's going to be an alternate art door to nothingness.
That would be awesome. Wouldn't that be great? The whole thing is... It's
so,
just
oh, goody, we got another fucking door, but with different art.
But that's just the biggest troll in the world. You build it up to like, what's the prize in the center of the maze? Just a door to nothing.
Yeah.
Yay. Oh, that's fucking great, guys. Good job.
Yeah. Way to think on your feet, wizards.
All right, we're going to roll in the shout-outs, and I got a few to start him off really quick. So I got a shout-out, of course, Manabase. But bam, because he asked for him, he got in. Alan Westbrook, Dark Akari 1M. He says he's not a whore, but you so are because you asked for a shout-out, you whore. And Brian Campbell, Soup Dog, because he got in at the last minute. Booyah! Oh, and then, of course, you know, Magical Spider, because she got in fourth. But I'm like, all right, you're in. Boom. So that's my shout-outs because I'm keeping them fast because apparently there's like an anti-shout-out thing going around the podcast world. We're not getting first.
No, I'm pretty sure that like they don't like giving shout-outs anymore because we do.
No, I think it's because everyone just yells at them. So no matter what they do, they're just wrong.
What the fuck? I didn't get my shout-out.
Yeah. All right, who's next?
Well, I'll go ahead and go and I'll give our guest of honor the last shout-outs. Because, I mean, you know this is going to take a good half hour, 45 minutes. I might pop up with a deck tech or, you know, something might happen. Like, I might
review. You might
be like, okay, I need you guys to understand. I need you to wait for it because this is going to be the greatest shout-out ever. And then mute my mic and go make a drink and come back. I'm going to give – oh, Maddie, you forgot one. I'll take this one for you. Okay. Marcel?
No, Marcel. I was going to save that one. I'm saving that one.
Sorry, I had to steal it from you because I didn't want you to forget. Marcel's penis needs a shout out because it's having an inferiority complex. So
all I got to say, Marcel, come on the show. Whip your dick out.
All you got to say is fucking Marcel, you're black. It can't be having a fucking inferiority complex.
No, but I was going to say, if you ever want to make him feel better, you come on the show, you whip it out, and basically we'll whip ours out, and then you'll never feel inferior in your life.
Yeah, you're a big thump, and then you hear a...
Nothing. That's easy. It doesn't hit the table.
I gotta give a shout out to fucking Kevin for Battle. Love that dude. He's always fucking tweeting back and forth with me. He's just a fucking cool ass dude on Twitter. So you guys should go fucking follow him. He's a homie. And he was saying the other day, I guess he's going to start trying to make a run to get to try to get on the Pro Tour. I have no idea if you're good enough to do that, but. Fucking nope. All the more for you, man. And I told him that he's like, within the next 12 months, I'm going to try to qualify for, you know, the Pro Tour. And I told him I was going to, within the next 12 months, I was going to try to top eight an FNM. So, I mean, you know, we're on the same clock. Ben Clinton for fucking abandoning that fucking paper garbage and like trying to come to the dark side. And just be fucking moto homies with us. I get a fucking huge shout out to my man, Durfington, for fucking being here tonight.
Of course.
Hanging out with us. Bullshitting with us.
We might even let him out of the cage permanently.
Okay. Yeah, we might let him go. Well, I mean, not permanently. Like, we'll tag him.
At night. At night, we'll put him back.
But we'll tag him so he's got, like, a tracking device and whatnot. So, like, we can always grab him and put him, you know, throw him in a sack and put him back in the cage.
I'm happy with that arrangement.
Yeah, at least I get out of the cage.
Yeah, he's like, I'll take any deal you guys got. You guys are drunk.
Yeah, any deal is better than shit you guys have been doing now. Kevin keeps coming downstairs and rubbing his junk every night after he's drinking.
Please make him stop.
Yeah, please make him stop. It's more psychological than anything. He's always too drunk to get the lock in the cage open, but it's really fucking me up in the brain. And, you know, my last shout out, got to catch Robot Large. We don't have Ferret here to save us. Got to catch Robot Large because he always gives a shout out. And then my last shout out is going to be to you, Maddie, because, man, we do this every fucking week, and I love doing it every week. I'm excited.
You forgot.
I'm excited to come get drunk and talk shit with you every fucking week.
I know. It's awesome, man. No, but you forgot Michael Marcel, the ginger Italian, because, you know, he doesn't have a soul.
Oh, actually, yeah, I do have to give him – I talked about him earlier in the episode, and
that's
figured –
That's true. Fuck it. I take that back. He doesn't get my shit out. But I got to – what about Ruben? You got to give Ruben Unleashed, man. Are you Unleashed? Because
– We haven't heard much from him.
Ciao.
I know he just wrote in, or he just tweeted us a little bit ago, but we haven't heard much from him lately. So, Ruben, what I want to know is what the fuck is going on in your life that you're too busy for fucking heavy meta? What the fuck is going on in your life that you can't fucking tweet us constantly like you used to? Because that was fun. And now you're ruining it!
Oh, I totally forgot too. The proxy guy. Did you see all those alters he did? So he's actually working. I love that he's working on my ideas. He listens to the show and then he's like, "All right, I got work to do."
Yeah, I got shit I gotta go do now.
So he's working.
Fucking real life guru lands.
Yeah, holy fuck.
Fucking god.
Yeah, he's got.
Hey, this noob question for you guys: what fuck is the deal with Guru Lands? I have no idea what the fuck. I mean, I see that they look awesome. I don't know why they're fucking that expensive. Like, what? So, somebody explain this to me. Don't explain it to me. Explain it to the listeners. All
right.
Because I already know.
So Guru Lands, I believe, were mailed.
It was for some kind of mentoring program, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A long time ago?
Yeah, exactly. Because you had to be part of something, and then you only got one or two. And then I think they were also in a deck. Weren't they in one of those pro decks?
I don't think the real like guru lands were. I think they're only available cause as like some kind of reward for like being a mentor in this guru program. I think I don't know.
Because this is weird because I have like 7 or 8 of them and I don't know where I got them.
Really?
We're talking about the ones with the eye stamp, right?
And then
like the artwork changes through the middle of the fucking.
Yeah, it's like the artwork is like that. That changing shit, but I don't know if it has a stamp. I'll look at them again. I thought I got them out of one of those World Tour Pro decks.
The ones that are like stupid amounts of money are like the original. Maybe they reprinted the art in some other set, but the original ones were. I think they're only available in that program, and they're like ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah, those things are fucking retarded. Yeah, for just a basic land because of the artwork,
and they're not even foil or full art.
And real quick on that note, did you guys see that fucking tweet? I think it was last night. I retweeted it. A couple other people did, but fucking they just like a Beckett auction just fucking sold 10 fucking pristine condition beta black lotuses for $50,000 in an auction. It's like the highest recorded fucking like Magic the Gathering fucking transaction ever. So and they posted a picture of it too.
Man, sometimes I wonder if those, like, when people find old cards now, I'm like, dude, I don't know if they're real anymore.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that it begs the question, but I mean, obviously, they're, I mean, you know, Beckett probably knows their shit for the most part.
Maybe. That's fucking crazy.
I would think, but, like, literally fucking 10, like, pristine quality fucking Black Lotuses for $50,000 at an auction. It was a private U.S. Buyer. So
I believe it.
Fucking insane. Yeah, $50,000. Do you know what the fuck you can buy for $50,000? Do you know how much cocaine you can buy for $50,000? You completely forget what a Black Lotus is.
No, Kevin, you buy the Black Lotuses, grind them up.
Or you could you could go buy a Lotus, like, you know, the car.
Like, and snort that thing.
Yeah, you could snort the Lotus and still have enough money left for the medical bills. Like, it's fucking ridiculous. But, I mean, hey.
All right. Well, let's let our guests shout out someone.
No. We got to go for another hour and a half of yelling about shit that doesn't matter.
I could talk about Power for another, you know, half an hour to an hour.
Let's do it then. Perfect fucking segue. See, I told him as a fucking genius.
We still have post shout outs.
Yeah. Post shout outs and then pre shout outs for the next episode.
There you go.
Oh, just go straight to shout outs then.
So, Derf, it is straight to you.
All right. I got a few people. To start off with, one of the guys at our local store, his name is Matt Goldfarb. He recently took down a PTQ last weekend in Toronto, Modern. So he was playing Red Green Tron, and, you know, like a bunch of our guys, like, have recently been just like the past few months have just been like grinding like larger tournaments and PTQs. So, so good on them for getting out there and putting up results.
Nice.
I gotta give a shout out to Batman KYT for all the shit that he does, because he's writing like a regular column series now in Manada Pride and talking about his experiences. And like,
I have a question: what is a Batman? What is that?
What do you mean he is Batman?
No, we neglect to shout out the Batman, Maddie, you know this. He deserves one, especially this week.
He does. Now, I always used to say, "There's no describing Batman. There's only feeling him."
This is true. This is true.
What part of the centipede is he?
I believe he. Yeah, well, he's the one probably controlling it.
Yeah, no shit.
Is he riding centipede?
He rides.
Yeah, he's just riding into the back down into the cave. Yeah.
All right, let him finish his shit.
Yeah, go ahead. Right, sorry.
Well, the last one's obviously to you guys, because you know, thanks a lot for letting me tag along on the cast. Like, I remember listening to the very first episode, like going on Twitter, like some guy called Kevin Metal's like, "Hey, Durf, you gotta listen to this cast." And I was like, "Oh, I remember, you know, Barstool Saints, Scotty Max, like mentioned you a bunch of times." So I gave it a listen. You guys are hilarious, and you know, I've been listening ever since. I've been a huge supporter of you guys. So, no, I really appreciate
you. You've been awesome. You've been an
one of the utmost supporters of us. Like, Dave, next to fucking Robot Large, you've been one of those guys that fucking has been there from the beginning and all stoked about it, and we really do appreciate it, and all the fucking work you've put in, and all the time you spent in the cage and all that shit.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Yeah, you know that whole thing. Like, we apologize. I mean. Yeah, somewhat.
We felt
like you deserved it somehow, but
And to show our thanks, we will fill your little maple syrup bowl all the way to the top tonight.
That's all I can ask for.
All the way to the top.
We won't skimp tonight, buddy. All there.
The riches, all the riches.
Yeah. All of the riches, all of the gold.
All that golden syrup going down my throat. And on that note, fuck.
Oh, and then shit got weird.
Yeah.
Were you done with your shoutouts there, Derf?
So I was totally done.
Because, you know, you could come up with some more so we can interrupt them.
No, I'll save them. I'll keep them.
I'll save those.
All right, and with that, Kevy, send us out.
I'm Ron Burgundy. Go fuck yourself, San Diego!
I swear to God, whenever this is, maybe when we're in Vegas, we have to drive down to San Diego. We have to take a picture of us fucking the Welcome to San Diego sign.
Yeah. No, I can't wait till Anchorman 2 comes out so I have a new fucking closing line.
We gotta watch. Okay, it was part of the Vegas thing. We had someone bring a DVD of Anchorman. Cause
oh, dude, that has to happen.
All drunk, it'll be amazing.
I'll just go ahead and recite the whole movie for you guys, fucking blindfolded and with fucking earphones on.
Kevin will just act. Yeah, he'll act out the whole movie for us.
I'm in a glass box of emotions.
So damn hot.
Yeah, milk was a bad choice. I could do. Oh, dude. Anchorman and Step Brothers are the two greatest movies that have ever graced the earth. And actually, I can say I am more partial to fucking Step Brothers out of the two. But, like, Anchorman just has some of the best fucking one-liners possible ever in the world. Like, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
Will Ferrell, this last episode of Heavy Meta is seeing
you,
friend.
Yeah, it's dedicated
to Will. Stay classy. Stay classy, you motherfucker.
Yeah, stay classy, you sons of bitches.
Oh, man.
That's good shit.